Blog Talk Radio.
A new
strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say, it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you, Jehoshua. What an awesome God we serve. What a good God. What a great God we serve, my brother, my sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty Jesus. Mighty, 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 mighty Yeshua. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I hope everyone can hear me fine tonight. Thank you, Jesus. We thank the Lord for his love, for his mercy that endure forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We are grateful to be picked by God, chosen, elected, selected by him. Hallelujah, from eternity, to be here in the last day of the last day serving him. Hallelujah, the people that will hear the last trumpet sound. Hallelujah, before the harpazo, the departure of the bride of Christ. Departure, rapture, hallelujah, of the bride of Christ, which is, hallelujah, so close now, so close now. Hallelujah. According to the Lord and the Father, it is over. It is over. And that should give us so much joy, so much peace, my brother and sister. Instead of focusing on when, because it's here. It's here. Instead of focusing on when, focus on being ready. Okay? Don't be caught by surprise. Okay? Because the Lord showed me that. That many people will be caught by surprise. Many people will say, if the Lord would have delayed the rapture, remember the Lord taking me to the first days of the great tribulation, first day after the rapture, okay? It was like the first week after the rapture. And just a few days had passed, the church was gone. The church had disappeared. My brother and sister, And everyone on earth is looking for answer. How is it that thousands of people disappear, millions of babies disappear, okay? And no one knows how or when, who took them, what took them among the unbeliever, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. But to the believer that were backsliding, hallelujah, back to sin, back to the old life, they knew. You don't have to tell them. If you ask them what happened to these people, they'll tell you the rapture. That's what happened. God took them. That's what happened. Okay? We should have been ready waiting for it, but we did not. Shalom, Brother Joseph. Okay? The believer that were not ready knew 100%. You didn't have to tell them the aliens as the government began to tell people. My brother and sister, when you ask them what happened with these thousands of believers that disappeared. Where did they went? Where did they go? They said the rapture. God told us through his prophet for many years through the church, those saints that went home. But we did not got ready. We did not believe them. We judged them. We come against them. Oh, we treat them so bad. Now God took his. God took his. And I heard a man say, if God would have just given me just a few more months. I mean, 2 more months at least. I would have been ready because I was working overtime. I didn't have time to be repenting and seeking God. You know, I didn't have time for those things. God, all God needed to give me was some more time. Why did the rapture happen so soon, he said. Why did the rapture happen so soon? They were having this conversation in the street of America. Why did the rapture happen so soon? I thought God would give us more time to prepare and to be ready. And I'm hearing this conversation. The Lord took me there for me to hear this conversation. My brother and sister, among people. Why? Why did God do this to us? Because now we know the Great Tribulation is here. My brother and sister, they say, they were afraid. It was a cold week for them. My brother and sister, cold. Cold like ice. There was no presence of God there. My brother and sister, and the Lord allowed me to feel, as you feel in hell, there's no presence of God there. And so I felt death within the air now on this earth. It was like a tremendous change completely, my brother and sister. And people had all these questions. Why did God do this to us? Again, the devil does things to people and they blame God. It's always the same music, always the same song, my brother and sister. You know, but we need to take responsibility for a sin. That's what God wants, my brother and sister. And you may think very little of you, and God thinks very high of you. Repent. Repent, my brother and sister. Repent daily. Okay? Don't be caught by surprise. You know, when Jesus tells the parable of the 10 virgins, and then he said that the Lord will come in an hour that you know it not. That is the fact. He comes in the midnight hour. Who sees a thief coming in the middle of the night? You don't see him. Very rare when a thief get caught in the middle of the night. You usually know that they stolen, my brother and sister, in store, business, or home after the evidence is there, the broken window, the broken door, either the basement door, the back door, rear door, sometimes front door, my brother and sister. And then you know that they stole in the house. Someone robbed the house when the people were not there. Maybe they were asleep. My brother and sister, my mom, when we were little, we had a thief break into our house. And she said that she was so afraid. My father was off that week, off to see his family. And left out with our mom because we had to go to school. And the thief broke the door. My mom heard the thief breaking the door. She was so afraid, she went and grabbed us and put her in bed with her and covered us with the sheet because she was thinking, if I cover my children and I have a nest to me, they can steal whatever they want. Okay? I'll call the police after, but they can steal whatever they want. But she tells a story and she laughs about it. She just laughs about it. She said, the only thing I worried the most was my children. She said, whatever material stuff they were going to steal, they were going to steal. But my children was that I worry about the most, she said. And the thief went right by the bed. And she pretended she was asleep, opened the drawer, took whatever chain or ring she had. She didn't care. She didn't care. And she tells the story now, and she thinks it's so funny, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Because she said, when the moment comes, you got to really think what's more valuable to you. And right now, since the rapture is here, my brother and sister, this is the season of the rapture, you hear the prophet saying. Okay, you got to think, Shalom, Sister Luna, what is more important to you? Is it more important of you going home now with the Lord that the rapture is about to happen, surely? What's more important? You got to put, hallelujah, everything in a balance. You got to think about your life. Got to think about everything. What's more important to you now? Is it more important to be going home with the Lord? Because their church is getting ready for the Great Tribulation. They're already saving a bunch of food. They got a lot of water. They got a lot of ammo. Got a lot of weapons. They're ready for the Great Tribulation. I don't believe God told us to be ready for the Great Tribulation. I believe he told us to be ready for the rapture. That was the teaching of Jesus. Obviously, in the Bible, Jesus talked about the Great Tribulation very little. He talked about the rapture even more. Us being with him where he is, we will be also with him, my brother and sister. So the rapture to him is more important, because the Great Tribulation points to people being disobedient and God dealing with them in a new way, my brother and sister, in a new way. And God said that he would deal with people, hallelujah, by a sign through Moses that would be, hallelujah, disobedient in a new way, my brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. In number, hallelujah, number 16, hallelujah, verse 28, Moses says to the people, Moses says, this is how you will know that the Lord sent me to do all these things, that it wasn't my idea. If these men die like all the others, other people, if they die as natural death, then the Lord hasn't sent me. But if the Lord does something totally new, I love it, hallelujah, it's a new thing God is doing on the earth. But if the Lord is doing something new, if the ground open up and swallow them and everything that belongs to them, and they go down alive, my brother and sister, going to hell alive. Is that something new God is doing in the last days? Shalom, Brother Miguel. People going alive to hell after they've been vaccinated? Of course that is something new. Has he done it before? Yes, he has, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. If the ground open up and swallow them and everything that belongs to them, my brother and sister, if the ground open up and swallow them, everything that belongs to them, if they go down alive to the grave, then you know that these men have treated the Lord with contempt. That's what humanity has done when they have rejected Jesus and his plan of salvation and his death on the cross. They have contempt with the Almighty. And alive after being vaccinated, they go down. Simple. Period. Period. Some people say, brother, let's move on from that. Period. Let's move on, Brother Elvis. I can't move on. I have to bring it back because there's still people being vaccinated. This is a new thing, and we know it's new. That's what Moses is, my brother and sister. If God is doing a new thing, they have to go down alive, and that's how people are going down alive when they get to by seeing till demon comes one on the left and right hand and take their soul down. And there's nothing they can do after taking the Bicene. Because as the Lord said, they're making the choice to take the Bicene. They're not being forced, my brother and sister. And you can tell God because of my job or my family told me so. Did your family or your job or your boss die on the cross for you? Or was it Jesus? It's the question. My brother and sister, we need to take responsibility for our action, for our sin, before God, my brother and sister. But, you know, this is not most of the news I have for you for tonight from the Lord. I got exciting news for you. I was taken to the millennium, hallelujah, yesterday morning. Exciting. 1,000-year reign with Christ. I was taken there. Oh, it was so awesome, my brother and sister. God is so good. God is so awesome. I'm going to go into those revelations tonight, what I saw, what I experienced there, my brother and sister. God has great plan for you and I, my brother and sister, for those that fear him. Hallelujah. Things that I have not seen, ears have not heard, are the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Okay? God has, hallelujah, amazing things prepared for you and I, my brother and sister. And being in the millennium, it really helped me understand, my brother and sister, Exodus 19. Because the children of Israel in Exodus 19 were afraid to approach the mountain. They were very afraid to approach the mountain, that holy mountain. God was on the earth in those days. God was in the mountain, my brother and sister. And that was pointing to the new earth. It really gave me a good understanding of God being on the earth in the days of the children of Israel, when God ordered Moses to lead them, hallelujah, through Messiah as an angel before him, my brother and sister, to that holy mountain. Because he was on the earth, God told Moses to lead the children of Israel there so that they may come there and worship him. Hallelujah. Why are we taken to the millennium? Because Messiah is going to be on the earth. And God wants to bring you and I there that we may worship him, my brother and sister, that we may worship him. Look what God says in Psalm 2:6. I have installed my own king on Zion, my holy mountain, my brother and sister. God is going to install, place in on the earth his holy son, Jesus. Hallelujah. In his holy mountain. And he wants to bring us there, and we will worship him. Psalm 34, I call aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain, Salah, my brother and sister. When we come to Jesus in that, hallelujah, new earth, and we call on the Lord, immediately we will get an answer. Hallelujah. Because I was there yesterday morning, and I thought of something I wanted to eat. And the Lord was so awesome. Hallelujah. And wanted to confirm his word to me. I thought about it as I was driving there. And it was given to me. And I ate it. I don't know how many of you heard about yuca root. Yuca root is called in Spanish. My brother and sister. It's a root. How can I compare it to? It's like a potato. But it's long. And I really love it. I love yuca root, my brother and sister. And it was there in the millennium. They had it. And the Lord helped me eat it. Oh, it was incredible, my brother and sister. I'm not going to go in the revelation yet. I'm going to keep up in the words. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Psalm 15:1. Oh, Lord, who may stay into your tent? Who may live in your holy mountain? David said, who? Hallelujah. But only the yuca, yes, yuca. Hallelujah. The righteous is the only one that can stand in his holy mountain. Remember the children of Israel being afraid of going up the mountain? My brother and sister, the Bible says that after 2 months, after the Israelites left Egypt, they came to the desert of Sinai. Israel had moved from the Rephidim and had come into the desert of Sinai. They had set up camp there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to the mountain to God. Hallelujah. How can Moses decide to go there to the mountain to God? Because God was in the mountain, you know? And Moses knew exactly where he was. Moses had an address, my brother and sister. You go straight, you take a right up in that mountain, and God was there. It was simple. You cannot get lost. Don't take a left. Go straight. Take a right, and God is there. And Moses knew how to get to the mountain easily, my brother and sister. He went out to the mountain, and there was the Lord there. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He will be in the mountain. He will be in Jerusalem and all over the earth. And from any part of the earth, he will speak with you and I face to face, my brother and sister. The Bible said that God spoke with Moses face to face. Hallelujah. Jesus will speak to us, hallelujah, in his holy mountain in the millennium, face to face. No more a preacher, no more a pastor, although he will send some of us to go preach to the people coming from the valleys, from the great tribulation. Don't be surprised, my brother and sister, because when you come to them, you're going to be sent as a messenger of the Lord, and they'll know that the Lord is in Jerusalem. But you and I will just be obedient to the Lord. Whatever he wants us to do, we are going to do, my brother and sister. He has a task specifically given by Father to each and one of us. We are responsible before God for doing our task daily. As long as it's explained to you, as the Lord explained to you, your task, and how often do you need to do your task, focus on God to doing your task. Focus on Jesus. Amen. It's like yam. You're right. Yuca is like yam. Yuca, I love it. And my brother and sister, this past week I had a yuca here, yuca root, and the Lord surprised me in the millennium. I was saying, the Lord is so funny, you know, funny, and I to say funny, but God sometimes gives me things that he know I want and surprised me with them, and he did this time again, my brother and sister, and I'm telling you, wow, he's so awesome. We're going to have so much fun with God, with the Lord, in the millennium, my brother and sister, because I said, before we ask, he would answer us in the millennium. He would answer before we even ask. So it's going to be incredible to be in with the Lord for 1,000 years, because whatever, before you ask for anything, they're knocking on your door here. The Lord has sent me to give you this. And you'll be like, I thought about asking, but I haven't asked yet. And they're already giving it to you. So Moses went up to the mountain of God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain. And this is what you might say to the descendant of Jacob, tell the Israelites what you have seen for yourself, what I did to the Egyptian, how I carried you on eagle's wing and brought you to the mountain, because he is the great white eagle. And in his wing, he carried the children of Israel, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So it's important, my brother and sister, hallelujah, that you stay focused on the Lord, no matter what people are doing around you, no matter what's happening around you, because the devil will use others to distract you from praying, from focus on Jesus, and seeking the Lord. The enemy is a father of all lies and a master of deceit. Don't let him deceive you in these last days. Stay focused on the Lord. No matter who he's using, hallelujah, you stay focused on Jesus. These days, my brother and sister, are so, in a way, difficult, but the Lord wants us to call on him for help. Whatever's happening, call on the Lord for help. Trust the Lord and call on him. Lord, I'm dealing with this problem, this situation, or these people, or this person, Lord. Will you help me, Jesus? Help me, Jesus. Don't be afraid to ask for help. If you're not asking for help, you're being prideful. Be careful with pride. Pride comes before you fall. Amen. If you carefully obey me, God says to Moses, and are faithful to turn to the term of the promise, and I'm reading from the Word of God, my brother and sister, which is sound to you more modern, but it's important that I read this more modern translation, because it brings more clarity to the message. We have read this a lot from the King James and other version, but I want you to hear through this Bible, my brother and sister, as the Messianic Bible also. Hallelujah. I also read from the Bible a lot. Thank you, Jesus. If you carefully obey me and are faithful to the term of the promise, then all these nations, hallelujah, you will, hallelujah, then out of all these nations, you will be my own special possession. Hallelujah. Even though the whole world is mine. Hallelujah. When you possess something or someone, in this case, God is possessing us. We are his special possession. We're very valuable to him, my brother and sister. We are special to him, my brother and sister. And this is why when you take the vaccine and modify your DNA, you stop being special from that very moment, because you are changed. You are changed. Don't be vaccinated with COVID-19 vaccine. Be careful, because it will change who you are. In God. And God doesn't like mix. God wants you pure for himself. That's why the word holy means separated. You have nothing to do with the vaccine. Nothing. Or whatever the world does. That's their vaccine. They take their vaccine, not you and I. We've been separated from the Lord. The Apostle Paul even said that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And whoever destroyed this temple, God will destroy them, my brother and sister. I heard a word that a lot of people that are going to hell with the Bicene are not coming out. It really made me sad, and I didn't even want to hear the word, because I'm praying for my family that are vaccinated, and I'm believing God for him to turn them back, my brother and sister. And I know a lot of you also are, and it's very hard for us to hear those type of words, that a lot of the vaccinated are not coming out of hell. They're going to have to stay there forever. That is really, my brother and sister. But I believe in the prayer of the righteous, that the Bible says availing much. And I believe my prayer availing much, especially for my family, my brother and sister, because many has taken the Bicene. God have mercy. Verse 6, you are we, my kingdom, a priest, and a holy nations. These are the words you must speak to the Israelite, my brother and sister. Priests, when God chosen the priests like Aaron and his sons, my brother and sister, was to be separated unto him, completely separated, holy, pure. The nothing that the world of people were doing around them, including the children of Israel, Aaron and his son, hallelujah, they even had a place to live separated from among the people, my brother and sister. God wants us separated from among the rest of the people, my brother and sister. I don't go to party. I don't go to birthday. I avoid going to the mall. I avoid going to the store. I avoid going among a lot of people who are cursing, who are speaking evil, who are doing evil, who are practicing evil. I avoid those places, because I understand the calling of God over my life and my family, my brother and sister. We are in this earth, but we're not of this earth, in another word. And so we all need to avoid those things. There are times when we need to go to the store, and we go. But we want to be out of there quickly also, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. I don't want my children to learn what other children are practicing every day, cursing and all kinds of evil. And so we raise them separated unto the Lord, because we understand the calling of the Lord in our life, my brother and sister. Very important. We practice this and live by it. Hallelujah. That's the calling of the Lord in our lives. And this is what God is saying to Moses, what he wants for his children to do. Verse 7. So Moses went down and called for the leader of the people and repeated them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together, we will do everything that the Lord has said. So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. Hallelujah. You see that God wants to hear what you have to say. And what you say matters to him. Why do you think Jesus said that from every word? Hallelujah. We will have to give an account. If you have to give an account for any mistake you made by saying things you should have not said, can you imagine for, hallelujah, confessing the Lord? Hallelujah. Doing the word of God, preaching his gospel, my brother and sister. It's all recorded. Remember when the Lord took me to heaven a few months ago and had all these recordings be played right before me? He had all these out of the cloud in heaven, out of the thin air in heaven, all these recording of all my message, they were all being played in heaven. And he had me hear them. Hallelujah. No recording were ignored. He and the Lord Yahweh, and everywhere since I've been preaching, they're all in heaven. They're all up in the records of heaven, my brother and sister. Even when I recorded down here, sometimes by bad weather, get cut off and there's noises and whatever, not in heaven. In heaven, those audios are perfect, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Everything is recorded. This is why our obedience is important. You don't let anything or anyone out there, hallelujah, come against your obedience to God, because that's what the devil is trying to do. He knows that you and I need to be obedient to God. He uses people to come against you in order for you to get angry, to make you sin, and you then forget about your obedience to your God. He wants you to lose focus. Don't lose focus. Know and understand that this is a commitment we have with God. We are committed to him, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Understand your commitment and look forward to your commitment every day before your God. And stay focused. When you lose focus, read the word, read the Bible, pray when you lose focus. And the time, hallelujah, when you need to cry, cry. And the time that, hallelujah, that you need to rejoice for whatever God is answering you, whatever God is giving you, praise him. Rejoice, celebrate. Don't hold back, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. So the Lord says to Moses, I ain't coming to you on a storm cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always believe you. Moses told the Lord what the people has said. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, the Lord is coming in the cloud for his bride. Hallelujah. And there will be people saying unto the Lord, Matthew 25, Lord, Lord, open to us. Lord, Lord, open to us. They will want the door to be open to them. Those that were not ready, those that went to buy oil, that came back to backsliding, were saved during the rapture time. My brother and sister, I thought most of the rapture will be hidden, but the Lord will give clear sign of the rapture, where other people are going to see the sign and what happened after that. Lord, Lord, I want to go home also. But they will know immediately they're not ready. I remember this brother that died, my brother and sister, and his testimony. And he went to this line of people that were lining up to meeting the Lord. Hallelujah. And as people were going by, Jesus was asking them, did you learn to love on earth when you were on earth in your body? And some people will say, yes. And some people will say, I learned to love you. Hallelujah. They didn't must learn to love other people as the Lord was asking them, because this life that we've been called to is a love. Prophecy will end. Everything that you and I know will end, but love is eternal. Because God is love, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And when you have learned to love the Lord, then the Lord can use you. Unless you learn to love Jesus, hallelujah, he won't use you much. Because if you don't have anything to give, what are you going to give to my brother and sister? Hallelujah, to other people. God wants you to learn to love. And when you learn about it, when you love people, you pray for them. That's the first sign of love. James said, show me your love without your action. And I'll show you my love, my faith, with my answer, with my action, I'm sorry. Show me your faith without your action. In other words, whatever you believe, if you believe you love, because it's all by faith. You cannot separate love from faith. That's what I love about the Hebrew. And that's what I believe when the rabbis say, as they study the Word of God, that the Word of God is perfect. Yes, it is. You know why the Word of God is perfect? Because God is perfect. It came from a perfect being. It came from a perfect mouth. It came from a perfect heart. It came from a perfect mind, my brother and sister. It came from God. His word is perfect. The Bible says that the law is perfect. My brother and sister, the law is perfect, Paul says. The word of God is perfect because God is perfect. There's not a single mistake. Hallelujah. The Jewish people have a way, the rabbi, the scholar, a way to study the word of God, to measure the level, hallelujah, perfection in every book of the Bible is perfect, my brother and sister. And most it represents God. It represents God from the beginning. From Genesis to Revelation,
What you read is about a father who had many sons and daughters. But when his son, when he began this family on this earth, hallelujah, he wanted his children to be obedient to him. But he loved them so much that he gave them freedom to make their own choice, my brother and sister. And one day his daughter listened to his enemy. And by listening to his enemy, no more can she be part of the family of God anymore. She went away with her husband to live on their own from the father because they could not keep the father's rule in the household, my brother and sister. And they went on to have many children. But the father loved his sons and daughters so much that he find a way to reach out to them and bring them back, his descendants, their descendants back into the family. That's the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. My brothers and sisters, they have many children. Hallelujah. And God wanted to bring all those children back to him and send his only beloved son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And his son went to the cross and died. And when he died on the cross, those that will believe on his sacrifice, my brother and sister, will have entrance into heaven. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said, this is the eternal life, that you believe that Jesus Christ, hallelujah, you believe in Jesus Christ. That's the eternal life. My brother and sister, in the moment you believe, you become saved. Saved by his grace, my brother and sister. This is incredible. He did it, and after he did it, so simple. Believe in the Son. And whoever has a Son, are also the Father, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. We are so grateful for him, my brother and sister. So grateful for Jesus. God gave us, hallelujah, what we needed exactly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So David said, I call out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. Hallelujah. Then he said in Psalm 51, O Lord, who may stay in your tent? Who may live in your holy mountain? David wondered. Because David knows how holy God is. And how would it be possible for anyone, David wondered, to live in his holy mountain through the sacrifice on the cross? That's the only way, my brother and sister. David didn't know this because David died before Jesus went to the cross. So he wondered, like Solomon wondered too. Hallelujah. Then he says also in Psalm 24:3, who may go out to the Lord mountain? Who may stand in his holy place? Hallelujah. Another question David has. He's aging. Hallelujah. David is aging and still wondering. He still has that question. How are they going to serve God in the mountain? Or who's going to get to the mountain and serve God? My brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 43:3. Satan, your lie and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain and to your dwelling place. David knew that we need to get there. But the how is the question. How do you get to the holy mountain? How do you get to the place where God is? David wondered, my brother and sister. Then he says in Psalm 48:1, the Lord is great. He should be highly praised. His holy mountain is the city of our God. Thank you, Lord. The holy mountain is the city of our God. My brother and sister, David did not see the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. He looked forward to the plan of God. He says that the holy mountain, because God dwelled there, was the city of our God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He wondered how are they going to get there. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Psalm 78:54, he brought them to his holy land, to the mountain that his power had won. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He's still wondering. Psalm 99:9, highly honor the Lord our God. Bow at his holy mountain. The Lord our God is holy. This is why David's wondering, how our people are going to come to this holy mountain, because God is holy, my brother and sister. And how can the people find themselves in this position to be able to make it to this place? You have a lot of people today in the time of grace, 2,000 years after grace, still wondering whether anyone can live in the sight of God. Oh, my brother and sister, take faith. It's by faith. His promises are by faith. The righteous should live by faith, God says. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Another promise, Isaiah 11:9. They will not hurt nor destroy anyone anywhere in my holy mountain. The world will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord like the water covers the seed. Thank you, Jesus. I was in the millennium yesterday morning. The Lord took me there. Hallelujah. In prayer, I asked the Lord, Lord, will you take me to the millennium? He said, yes. And before I finished my prayer in the morning, he says, I will take you to the millennium. Hallelujah. He repeated it to me again. Amen. He's always faithful and true, my brother and sister. And I remember going to bed, took me into the millennium, took me out of my body, straight there, my brother and sister. I find myself driving in the millennium. I immediately got the steering wheel, put my hand on the steering wheel, got hold of it. I have my children with me there. Thank you, Jesus, my brother and sister. As I'm driving there, I noticed I was in the United States. And it looks like I was driving out north in the United States, like heading to from Massachusetts to New Hampshire. You know how it is now, right now, according to our family up there, there's a lot of snow up in the road up there. And it's been snowing since early this morning nonstop, my brother and sister. In the millennium, there was no snow out there. The weather was gray. I noticed that there were palm trees everywhere on north. And I thought that was very weird in a sense, because it's not this way over here now in this timing. And the millennium is totally different. The earth is blessed, as the Lord has said. The curse will be lift from the earth. I noticed that the street what I was driving was very wide. And now in this time, it is narrow. It is uncomfortable. And the millennium was wide and beautiful. I'm looking at the palm tree as I'm driving north. You think about it. You know that it's cold usually out north. Snow in the winter, not in the millennium. In order for palm tree to grow, it's usually in Florida, Orlando, Miami, California. But out north, they're very difficult. We have some part of South of North Carolina where they can grow them and try growing them out, but it was difficult. They died because the temperature is not the right temperature for them, my brother and sister. But in the millennium, they're beautiful and full of life. The street, all the trees around the palm were beautiful. Flowers was everywhere, just growing, my brother and sister. Totally different than what we have now. Totally different, my brother and sister. And I'm driving there. And I know a lot of people will say, why would you be driving, Brother Elvin, in the millennium? And I'll say back to you right now, if I choose to. Praise the Lord. If you can move in the speed of thought, Brother Elvin, and you can do so much, why would you drive? And I say, why not? I enjoy it. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And God knows this. He's giving me a vehicle in the millennium, my brother and sister. Praise the Lord. And I drive with my children there, and we're enjoying like paradise, but on earth. This was not paradise in heaven that is so beautiful up there. But it's also so beautiful, the earth. Hallelujah. Because God is making this earth beautiful like it should have been, like it was before in the garden of Adam and Eve. My brother and sister, the earth was beautiful and blessed. Hallelujah. The curse entered the earth through Eve and Adam disobedient. And then Cain killing Abel, that brought the curse of death on the earth. And from Adam and Eve down all the way back here, death and rain on all these generations. So it's hard for people to imagine a earth without death, without evil, without curse, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. You don't think about food anymore because there's so much abundance everywhere you go. The earth is beautiful and totally renewed again. New. As Jesus said, I make all things new after his resurrection, my brother and sister. He's making all things new for us. He's making us new, new creature in God. And that new creature is the ability to be able to live in the millennium, not just going to heaven to that wedding celebration for a few years or a few hundred years. But more than that, that if we come down to the new earth in a glorified body, we'll be able to enjoy everything he has for you and I, my brother and sister. In that glorified body, you don't need to eat. You will not feel hunger, my brother and sister. You will have more energy. Hallelujah. As I'm driving there with my children and looking how beautiful God makes the earth, I'm trying to determine or recognize where I was. I knew I was heading up north, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And where we call the place Massachusetts now and day, it looks like I was in the same area, but it was much beautiful. Hallelujah. Light is like the Bible says in Isaiah. It's so bright, 10 times brighter. My brother and sister, the days are just so bright. The light just hits you, my brother and sister. And you look and you can see far, so far. The air is 100% pure. Water is 100% pure. The dirt, the grass is pure. How do you explain dirt being pure, my brother and sister? Hallelujah. Dirt being pure. Dirt being clean. How do you explain that? Mind-boggling. Think about it. How is that possible? Dirt can be clean. Dirt can be pure. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. He make all things new, as the Bible says. Not about this nonsense and evil and foolishness that we hear, that we deal with daily on this earth will be no more. It will pass, says the word of God. The former things, the things that you and I know, this planet that we have born in it, this evil planet we've been born in it, will not be anymore. He's given us spanking new heaven, spanking new earth. Brand new. Brand new. My brother and sister, untold, unheard. Hallelujah. I believe it's more beautiful than what he gave Adam and Eve. Because these are the mighty great promises. No corruption, no government. That's what I love. Hallelujah. He makes everything new. Great city, great towns, great homes, large enough, big enough. You can drive for days and months. Marvelous, and it's all beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, new. Look at the building, the house is new. No IRS, no governments, no more demons. They're bound in hell. The devil's bound for 1,000 years. my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm driving. As I'm driving in this beautiful road, I come to a place where I saw like it was grass, and I didn't know it was a pond there, or you know, if the soil was weak where I could sink. And I slowed down thinking that, but it did not. I drove through it, and I'm thinking, wow, my mentality from here over there is just totally different. Hallelujah. He makes everything awesome for us. I see a place that looked to me like a motel, but it was not. It was like a restaurant. And I said, I stopped there. I went there with my children and there. And I'm looking for the waitress to see who's serving the food. And I noticed it was the manager serving the food. And he says, you may sit down. I'm here to serve you, he says. He was preparing the food. I noticed that, hallelujah, he was going to serve me yuca, root. And I'm like, oh, I love yuca so much. And it looks so white. You know, I used to grow it back in the island. We used to plant that and grow it in my grandmother's garden. And, you know, the whiter it looks, because yuca can get mold, okay? And I know it was so delicious. And he was making it. And he showed it to me. And I'm looking at what he's preparing, and I'm thinking, wow, the Lord is so awesome. He is so funny. The Lord have him prepare this for me. And I'm thinking to pay him. And he reminded me, and he says, no, I want the reward of the Lord. I'm here to serve you. The Lord will reward me, he says. Oh, so he reminded me of what I heard before in the millennium. Every restaurant, every place you travel to a service, is the reward of the Lord. They will not allow you to pay them. Okay? Because I still have this mentality. I need to pay this man. He's serving me a wonderful meal. My brother and sister. And, oh, I felt so happy there. So, so joyful and happy. The people are sweet. My brother and sister, loving, caring. Everybody's loving and caring in the millennium. Everybody's grateful of the Lord. They're just so grateful. They love the Lord so much for what he done in their lives. And now that he's given them, you know that when people, I want to mention this, when people die in the Lord, and Hannah serve other people, when they go to heaven, they are told that by us serving other people on the earth, this is how we get our reward from the Lord. And so sometimes the Lord says, you don't have much reward. Because when you were on earth, yes, you're saved by grace. You didn't serve people. You just spend your life doing nonsense. So you don't have much reward. But here, if you do this, you'll get reward from the Lord, they're told. So coming down to the millennium and serving people, this is how they get their reward from the Lord, my brother and sister. Hallelujah, because this is the Lord, how he have established. This is why he says in Revelation 21, that our reward are with him to give to them according to what they have done. Whatever you've done for other people, you're going to get a reward from the Lord. And you can do whatever you want with your reward. You can give them away if you want. But you are going to get your reward from the Lord. You cannot say to the Lord, don't reward me, Lord. No. Because it's something he wants to repay you for, what you did for someone else. And he said, if you've done this for this little one, you've done it unto me, said the Lord. So that's why he's paying you for that. He's rewarding you, my brother and sister. And I know the word paying or repaying is a wrong word to explain the reward of the Lord, because it's much more than that. Okay? My brother and sister. So he says, no, I want the reward of the Lord, he says to me. Hallelujah. I'm serving you. I'm here to serve you. And he served me and my children this wonderful meal. Oh, as I ate that yuca root, my brother and sister, I knew it was the more pure, the more, hallelujah, how can I describe it? How can you describe the things God can do? The things God does, my brother and sister. It was the best I ever ate. Let's describe it that way. My brother and sisters, I was really enjoying it. It really tastes like yuca, and it had that strong. I remember being young, little, in my 13, 12, and growing yuca back in the island and eating it. And it was, when it grew big and it was so white and pure and there was no mold, nothing in it, you said, this is the best yuca I ever ate. So this was like best and all that. It really tasted good and pure. My brother and sister, and I'm thinking, wow, this earth here is so pure, and they're growing this yuca. I can imagine. One thing about yuca, after you cut the root, which is what you eat, and then you cut the rest of the plant, and then you replant it again, you get another harvest. Imagine in the millennium, okay, you take the root out, you leave the plant, and you got another harvest. Next, over here is next. It takes 8 months for you to grow yuca. Root, my brother and sister, 8 months, okay? So, and the millennium is daily. It's not 8 months. It's not 1 week. Daily. You put it back in the ground. Next day, you got the same root. Delicious, beautiful, healthy, no disease, nothing. My brother and sister, how can you not want to live in the earth? How can you not look forward to what God has for you? Tell me. How can it go through your mind to stay here, my brother and sister, to this lost world, how evil world that reject the word of God? No, look forward to his promises of new earth and new heaven, my brother and sister. These things you and I know are past, are going to pass. God is going to destroy this earth, this planet. Everything is contaminated. The heavens are contaminated. That's why he says new earth, new heaven, and new earth. The former things have passed away. He needs to clean the heaven. Satan knows his demon are up in the heaven and the air. They have contaminated all this galaxy. Okay? This galaxy is contaminated by Satan and his demon. God has to make all this heaven new, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. NASA is already looking forward to going outside of our galaxy. They know they are the galaxy. They can see it from this, inside this galaxy. I don't think God's going to allow them. Because if they do, they're going to contaminate. They can see other galaxy pure. And I don't know if you've seen the photo, the latest photo of NASA that have been uploading, sending back. They can see how the galaxy is so pure and, like, so holy. If they can get there, they're going to contaminate it. I don't think God's going to allow them, my brother and sister. I don't think he is. Hallelujah. God has so much for us. So, so much, my brother and sister. We need to be obedient. We need to commit to him. They will not hurt or destroy anyone anywhere in my holy mountain. Nor will be filled. The earth will be filled, the world will be filled with the knowledge, hallelujah, of the Lord, like the water, the covering of the sea. Hallelujah. The Lord, Isaiah 27:1, people will worship in his holy mountain. On that day, the Lord will use his fierce and powerful sword to punish the Leviathan, the slippery snake, the Leviathan, the sorcery snake. He will kill the monster which live in the sea. Are there mountains in the sea that are hiding and that people see them sometimes and when they cannot see anymore, they call them liar? The Bible says yes. There are mountains in the sea. My brother and sister, I don't know if you've seen the testimony online on YouTube of people that have seen mountains in certain part of Europe, the river between Canada and the United States, people have seen monsters. But there's not much evidence. There's been photo testimony of people that have seen them. They're hiding. That's what that is. They're hiding, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Isaiah 27:13, on that day the ram horn will be blown loudly. The shofar will be blown loudly. hallelujah, those who are dying in the Assyria and those who are vanished in Egypt will come and worship the Lord to the holy mountain of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So he makes the promise that wherever people are, they can come, my brother and sister. Because in that holy place, there will be life. There will be healing. They can come to the Lord no matter what, and they will receive life from him. He'll give it freely to people. I saw people from the earth going to the millennium to see Jesus. My brother and sister in the millennium, another occasion. There will be people going there from every place of the earth. My brother and sister. The only thing that he makes everything so perfect is like he removes so many rivers and so many lakes and so many stuff that divide the land and the country and makes all the country together like it was in the time of Adam and Eve. And you only get like 3 or 4 rivers within the entire earth. That was what's in the garden. There was only 3 or 4 rivers. That was it, my brother and sister. And these rivers had gold. In the millennium, I went to a river, I remember, and I dig out in the sand, and I found gold there. And there was plenty of it. And as people see me digging out for gold, they also came and dig out for gold too, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There are plenty of gold on this earth now. The Lord showed me one time that people don't see where it is. Excuse me. He took me in the spirit to this place in the island, and I saw all this gold. And I knew that for thousands of years, people don't see gold much. But the Lord knows where all the gold is. But that's okay. The millennium is practically here now. And he will, my brother and sister, give plenty to his people. Plenty. Plenty, my brother and sister, to his people. Hallelujah. Isaiah 56:7, then I will bring them to my holy mountain and make them happy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offering and their sacrifice will be acceptable in my altar because my house will be called the house of prayer for all the nation. It will be called the house of prayer. Why? Because people will come there to talk to the Lord. You come to Jerusalem. Why? I'm coming to pray to Jerusalem to talk to the Lord, my brother and sister. And they're going to come to Jerusalem, to Israel, to talk to Jesus in person, face to face. But in many occasions, Jesus will be going around the earth talking to people face to face, my brother and sister. It's going to be awesome. But remember that he is God. Once we are allowed to go to him, we need to go to him. This is the way God is going to establish. We're coming to his king. King who? King Jesus. That's what we're coming to, my brother and sister. We're coming to worship our king. Hallelujah. King Messiah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 57:13. When you cry for help, let your collection of idols save you. This is because the people have fallen into trusting of the God. Unless you trust in the Lord, then you can call on the Lord. His promises, Isaiah 65:25, the wolf and the lamb will feed together. Lion, hallelujah, will eat straw like an oxen. Dogs will be the food of the snake. They will not hurt nor destroy anymore, anywhere in my holy mountain, saith the Lord. That's his promise to us. And that's what we're going to experience. That is what we're going to see, my brother and sister, in the millennium. Nothing will hurt in his holy mountain. Nothing will hurt anyone in the millennium. Our children will grow healthy, strong, become great men, great women of God. My brother and sister, that will learn the power of God. They will learn the word of the Lord and move in the power of God like each and one will want it to be doing now. My brother and sister, but everything is in the timing of the Lord. I know a lot of you want to be moving in the power of God now mightily. But don't worry. Everything is in the timing of the Lord. God has a time and a season when he does these things. And his timing and season is approaching quickly. Quicker than when you and I think. Remember the other day when the Lord showed me him coming to us and began to transform us. to use us, transform us in a glorified body to use us, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And he says to me that he was going to do this. This is a time to come. Hallelujah. There is a time that is coming for you and I. And God made the promise, and he fulfilled his promise. My brother and sister, we need to learn to wait on the Lord. Now that we know that he's practically here to rapture the parts of us, now is when we need to stay repenting, because he assured me very soon you will want to preach on the Lord's hour, and you will now, because I will be changing my people. I will be changing you and your glorified body. And from your glorified body, you will not be able to preach on the Lord's hour, he showed me. Their time is now. Your time is now to be ready. It's not the future. Our future is to us to go into it. Surely, it's the word of the Lord for us. It's not no more soon. Surely, as he said to his disciple, and then appeared to them the next day or the next week. My brother and sister, hallelujah. They were looking for him, and they could not find him. And then he surely appeared among his disciples when he was on the earth. And the disciple wondered if he did all these miracles, and people were celebrating all the miracles, and he disappeared, and they were looking for him, and they could not find him, my brother and sister. And surely he appeared back to them either the next day or the next 2 days, whatever time he spent with God, my brother and sister. He looked forward to spending time with God, his Father, as he looked forward to doing his work, my brother and sister. You cannot do more one than the other. It's all in the balance, because it's all in the timing of God, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul, when he went out to do ministry, he was being led by the Spirit of the Lord. There were places he told him not to enter, my brother and sister, and he did not enter. And there were places he told him to go, and he went and had great victory. It's all being led. Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 49, the Bible said. He was being led by the Spirit. When you are being led and you're not the one leading, you got to submit to the will of him that is leading you. And this is what many Christians have missed in their walk with God. What is God saying to you? Did he say for you to go get the COVID-19 vaccine, or did you ask him first? No, you haven't. The millions of Christians that have taken the vaccine, that they didn't take the time to ask God. One brother got really scared. I used to listen to his message on YouTube and pray about the vaccine. I believe he didn't get an answer right away because he wanted to get it. You don't know that when you act in fear, you're setting yourself up for being attacked by the enemy. My brother and sister, the enemy will want you to move in fear. When you trust in the Lord, no matter what your work, your employer said, if you don't get this vaccine, you lose your job. You got to say to your employer, I will get back to you on this decision, but I'm not going to make this decision. I got to pray to God. And you may not tell him you got to pray to God. You may tell him, I'll get back to you. And then you go pray and fasting. And day passes and you don't hear from the Lord. And your employer calls you back and says, are you going to take the vaccine or what? Because it's mandatory. I'll get back to you. And you keep seeking the Lord. Hallelujah. Fear God above all. When you fear God, when you seek the leadership of God, you are honoring God above all. But when you commit to your employer and you go take the vaccine, it's like you're turning your back on God and you're not trusting him. My brother and sister, that is terrible. Terrible decision. My brother and sister. That's why God says to Moses, tell them in the wilderness that I were they to stand by them, those that are with me, to stand by you. And Moses, after he came down with the Ten Commandments, told the people what God had said, how he saw what they had done. God said to him in the mountain, these people that you are taking from Egypt into the wilderness, they have turned to worship a cow, my brother and sister. They had totally turned against God. And when the order came, as Elisha and Mount Carmel, hallelujah, those that are with God come to my side, and those that are with them go to their side, and the people were divided. There was a multitude with them, and there was a multitude with Elisha, my brother and sister. And when God showed his power, the order to Elisha and the people that were there, it was to kill the rest of other people. Death come to those that reject the will of God. It's in the Bible since the beginning. That's why people are surprised that the vaccinated soul are being removed from their body. This happens from the beginning. That's why I read you number 16 with Korah. My brother and sister, those men that were with Korah, hallelujah, God separated them. Those with Korah stayed with Korah. Those with Moses stayed with Moses. And the earth opened up and swallowed them alive. Those that are being vaccinated, the demon comes, the earth opened up, and they're being swallowed alive. It's the same repetition. God doesn't change his way, my brother and sister. God is a holy, righteous God. His word must never return back void. He told people to be obedient, to seek him, to commit themselves to him. And they go take that by seeing under fear, they're going down to hell, my brother and sister. It's terrible. But this is the way God has said it from the beginning. His way are higher than our way. Remember that. My brother and sister, he's just asking us to be obedient to him. Hallelujah. To seek his will in our own. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 66:20, they will bring all your relatives from everywhere, every nation, like a grain offering to the Lord. They will come on horses and chariot and wagon and mule and camel to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, declares the Lord. They will come like the people of Israel who bring their grain offering and clean dishes to the Lord's temple. This is the promise of the Lord for our family and for those, hallelujah, that he will save. They will have the blessing to come and serve the Lord in Jerusalem, my brother and sister. The Lord Jesus loves everyone. Everyone he created in his image, in his likeness. He has a plan for every single human being. If they're willing to submit and surrender to him, he will get a hold of their life and change them, hallelujah, for forever, ever. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 31:23. And this is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, say. When I have brought them back from captivity, they will once again use the same in Judah and in their cities. The Lord bless you in righteousness, holy mountain. Oh, that is so beautiful. My brother and sister, they will have a second chance to come and worship God. How is it that they entering in Babylon? By the disobedient to God. But our God is a God of second chances. Some people that are vaccinated, that the souls are going down, they will cry to God at the end of the 7-year great tribulation, and God will remember his promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. He says to Abraham that his descending will be like the star of heaven, like the sand of the sea. He will remember his promise, hallelujah, and will help those that will call upon his name. He will save them, the Bible said. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. Ezekiel 20:40, the entire nation of Israel, everyone in this land, will worship me in my holy mountain. The high mountain of Israel declares the Almighty Lord, there I will accept you. There I will look for your offering, your best gifts, and all your holy gifts. When you are holy unto God, so will be your offering unto him. Abel was a holy young man unto the Lord. And when he brought his offering before God, the Bible calls Abel righteous. My brother and sister, God accepted Abel's offering. He accepted Abel and he accepted his offering because Abel was a righteous young man. But Cain was not righteous. Cain was not the evil one, the Bible says. His actions were wicked. And when he tried bringing God an offering, God did not accept it. Cain, neither his offering. Because your life goes according to your offering, to your commitment to God. In other words, when you tell God, I will serve you, I will receive Jesus as my personal Savior and my Lord, you have to serve him, because the Bible said that his servant will serve him. He's your Lord. You must commit to his lordship over your life. You must do his will. You must keep his commandment, his word, in which he wants each and one of us to abide by, brother and sister. It is his will. Hallelujah. And if you're struggling keeping his word, keeping his commandment, being righteous and pure, the only thing he wants you to say is, Lord, help me to be holy. Help me to be righteous. Jesus, help me to be pure. Hallelujah. He wants to hear that from you. He wants to hear you say you need his help, because that's what the Bible calls humility. When you call on the name of the Lord, when you ask the Lord to help you, my brothers and sisters, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, call on Jesus for help. When we began talking about this Bicene, when the Lord began to show me how wicked and evil this Bicene was, I took it back to him in prayer. I didn't just, because the Lord giving me the revelation, I just did not just stand with that one revelation. I went back to the Lord, my brother and sister, and I seek up the Lord for more information, more revelation. I wanted to make sure the Lord was giving me this revelation and ask for confirmation. Hallelujah, my brother and sister. And he did. When God began this with me about the Bicene, the people will be about that were about to take. The Bicene was not even made yet when Father and our Lord came to me in that mighty revelation of God on the day of the Lord. Father came to me. Remember the Lord taking me out in the spirit. And I saw Father God coming. I saw the Lord standing right in front of me. And Father began to speak to me, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And he said to me very clear the outcome of those that would take the Bicene. He said they will not be part of his kingdom. Jesus, as the faithful witness, the Bible called him, was standing there confirming this to me, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. That this was the revelation of God. That was the word of God be given to me to share with his people. My brother and sister. It was in the confirmation of truth that he gave me that word. My brother and sister. And hallelujah. And in the confirmation of truth. And the testimony of truth. Or three witnesses. The matter is established, the Bible says. So this is established in heaven. And as I share it with you, it's also established on the earth since he given me this word. I knew it was not mine. Then later on when he spoke to me about it, he spoke to me as it was given to me or revealed to me to give. My brother and sister. That the word was not mine, that the revelation was not mine, is of God, as God gave it to me. So never I can say this is my message, is my revelation, or is my word. I have to say it's his word, it's God's word, it's God's revelation that I'm giving to God's people, to the world, my brother and sister. And they can take it before God any day of the hour, any time of the hour, and seek this in fasting and prayer. And I'm very sure God will confirm it to them, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just asked someone from Argentina earlier. Hallelujah. Let me know that the message was of the Lord. My brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. People from other country can go to the Lord. People in the United States, Canada, Mexico, and other countries can go to the Lord. And ask the Lord as the message comes from God, and God will speak to them, and God will confirm that it's his message. My brother and sister. I'm surprised there's a few people still doubting the message. I'm very surprised. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. When Koresh came to Moses in number 16, my brother and sister, he insulted Moses. My brother and sister. He called Moses arrogant. Hallelujah. And a dictator. Hallelujah. My brother and sister. And Moses, as Koresh spoke to him, he felt offended by the word of this man. He had with him 250 men. When you have some time, read it. It's number 16, Koresh, rebellion. It's the title, my brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. Moses was offended by the behavior of this man because Moses knew that he never gave them his word. He gave them the word of God, the revelation of God. So Moses knew that what Korah has spoken, what Korah has said was not of God, my brother and sister. It was an offense. Hallelujah. Bible said, now Korah, the son of Yeshua, this is from the Complete Jewish Bible, the son of what? The son of Levi, along with Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and on son Peleth, descending of Reuben, took me and rebelled against Moshe, siding with them with 250 men of Israel, leader of the community. They were member of the council, men of reputation. They assembled themselves against Moshe and Aaron and said to them, you take too much of yourself. After all, and the entire community is holy, every one of them in Adonai is among them. So why do you lift yourself above all Adonai assembly? This is a lie. Moses never pretended to be better than anybody. The Bible says that Moses was the most humble one in the land, actually. He never thought of himself higher than anyone. This was a false accusation. My brother and sister, we need to be careful with false accusation that people may bring against us, against our ministry. My brother and sister, we don't rise to take vengeance. We take it before the Lord. When someone rises to call me false, I take it before the Lord. My brother and sister, it's important that we understand. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We don't fight. I had a brother these past few weeks coming against me. Even when I sit here on the Lord's hour, hallelujah, I'm not here to argue. Time is too short to argue. My brother and sister, I keep repeating the same. Time is too short to argue with one another. If you disagree with my message, the messy messenger out there, pick the one you like. People that did not like Jeremiah, listen to the other prophet. But the only true prophet in that time was Jeremiah, my brother and sister. It did not go well when they rejected Jeremiah and went to listen to the other prophet. They ended up dead. They ended up with the dead, my brother and sister. It's a horrible thing. Hallelujah. Not to listen when God is speaking to us, my brother and sister. And he will tell us, hallelujah, what to listen to, who to listen to, who not to listen to. There were people I put on my YouTube that the Lord says, no, if you listen to this message, you'll receive false teaching, my son. Don't listen to this. You'll be held accountable for the false teaching, a sin, he said to me when he began to rebuke me this way, teach me and lead me, that I should not be listening to anyone up there. Because there are many people that will disagree with what the Lord has given us. But are they right is the question. There's only one right, and it's Jesus. And as long as he is the one leading us, he's always right. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Well, we need to make sure he is the one leading us. Well, seek his will. Seek his leadership, my brother and sister. Very important. We understand to seek the Lord. Bible says in verse 4 that when Moses heard, he fell on his face. When Moses heard this, he fell on his face. Then he says to Korah and the whole group, in the morning Adonai will show who is his and who is the holy person who will allow to approach him. Yes, he will bring whosoever he chooses near to himself. Not that I chose God, but it's that God chose me. God is the one that chooses, my brother and sister. And no one tells him. Some people may say, why? He chooses whoever he chooses to. Out of his will, out of his plan, out of his agenda. I tell the Lord, what did he choose? Why do you choose me, Lord? There are many people out there that know the Bible better than I, Bible scholars, teachers. Why me, Lord? He said, because I chose you, he says. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's not an explanation you may want to hear. Why? He said, because I chose you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Because I recognize that many people know the Bible better than I. They've been studying the Bible longer than me, my brother and sister, but he said he chose me. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How do you argue with that? Verse says, do this to take censer, Korah, and all your group. Put fire in them, put incense in them before the night tomorrow. And the one who the night chooses will be the who is holy. And it says, you, your son of Levi, you are to take too much on yourself. Then Moses said to Korah, listen here, you son of Levi, it is for you a mere trifle that God of Israel has separated you from the community of Israel to bring you closer to himself so that you can do this work in the tabernacle of the nine, stand before the community, serving them. He has brought you close and all your brothers and sons are living with you. Now you want the office of Kohen too? Then why you and you have gathered together against the nine after all? This is why Aaron, that you complain against him. So he was complaining against Aaron. He was complaining against Moses. And we will have people coming this way, complaining against us in the midst. I was telling this man, listen, okay, here he wanted more under my sin, more explanation, my brother and sister under my sin, more explanation on what I was teaching and preaching and teaching. And I told him, I when I bring the teaching, I bring the Bible, the word. I share the word, then I share the revelation. The word always comes out first, my brother and sister. And so the revelation is based on the word also. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And after people to receive it or not. I don't obligate anyone, but I know they come from the Lord. And I know even their consequence if they are rejected. Jesus told me this so the other day, my brother and sister. So I don't concern myself with that. My concern is to put out the word and to pray for people and help them out to come closer to the Lord. The more people are coming closer to the Lord and knowing him, the more joy I get because that's what Jesus promised me. He will bring people closer to him through this message. In preparation, my brother and sister. That's what's important. You're building on your relationship with the Lord. The rest of history. My brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And it also gives me joy to have greater family in heaven, greater family in the millennium. Brothers and sisters that I could visit, that I can see them across the earth and say hi and give them a hug. Family, my brother and sister. Our earthly family, not many are going to make it. We know this. But at least here we are a family. And we're going to stay together. When Jesus showed me death in heaven, I saw Brother Miguel in heaven in the Lord's Highway Park, and they gave me such a joy. I gave him a hug. Brother Miguel is in Colombia, 2-3,000 miles away from where I am now, my brother and sister. And seeing my brother Miguel in heaven and giving him a hug in the future, my brother and sister, gave me such a joy. My brother in Christ, when I saw him there, I saw him in his glorified body. Hallelujah. And I could tell it was my brother Miguel. Brother Miguel, Brother Elvi. And we walked and gave each other a hug, my brother and sister. It gave me such a joy because this is my family. My family, my brother and sister. Praise the Lord. And like Paul, I also feel the jealousy of my brothers and sisters. I don't want people to come and deceive you, mislead you. Hallelujah. Especially those that are so close to be going home now. We're so close. So close. Last trumpet. Hallelujah. So near that you're far sounding. Trumpet will sound. God made us the promise. God is not a man that he will lie, nor the son of man he will repay, my brother and sister. So now we need to continue to repent and seek the Lord. We're near. We are so near now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So exciting. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 65:25. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. Lion will eat straw like the oxen. Dust will be the food of the snake. They will not hurt nor destroy anywhere, anyone anywhere in my holy mountain, saith the Lord. I love this translation of the Bible, Complete Jewish Translation. I looked it up. I have heard testimony about it, how it was so difficult to bring this Bible together. And the Lord confirmed that he loved this word. He loved this Bible. He likes it. He likes it a lot. He likes this Bible a lot. That's why I like to go back and forth with this Bible, because I asked him about this Bible. He told me he did like it a lot. Thank you, Lord. So this was a great work they did here, my brother and sister, for the Lord. Oh, glory be unto God. This is what we should be doing, my brother and sister, doing everything that we can do. Hallelujah. Doing it for the Lord. Hallelujah. To please the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Ezekiel 20:40, the entire nation of Israel, everyone in the land, will worship me in my holy mountain. The holy mountain of Israel, declares the Almighty Lord. Hallelujah. There I will accept you. There I will look for your offering, your best gift, and all the holy gift. Thank you, Lord. God will be there waiting for you, where he will accept you there. Ezekiel 28:14, I appointed an angel to guard you. Where on God's holy mountain, you walk among the fearing stone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of people have said that this that the devil used to do, the bride of Christ is going, has been chosen to do in the millennium. And this is why the devil is so angry at the church and look to hallelujah, divide, confuse, destroy the church. It's not possible for him to do so because we're part of the body of Christ. It's impossible for Christ to be destroyed, my brother and sister. But the devil then, since he cannot destroy us, is trying to find ways to divide us, division. Because among division comes confusion. People, when they are divided, when they don't have the brothers and sisters there, they feel confused. And so the devil is trying to separate us one way or another and bring his lies and false teaching. My brother and sister, I appointed an angel to guard you. You were on God's holy mountain. You walk among the fiery stone. He did. The devil did. Now this is for the children of God. This blessing. We're coming to the holy mountain, to the fiery stone of the Lord. And we will be standing on them. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise to God. Ezekiel 43:12. And this is the regulation of the temple. The whole area and all the around the top in the mountain is most holy. Yes, this is the regulation of the temple. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Daniel 9:16, Lord, says you're very righteous. Turn your anger and fear away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. This was Daniel praying for the children of Israel, Jerusalem, and your people are insulted by everyone around us because of our sins and the wicked things our ancestor did. Don't let the devil use people to bring the past against you. Listen, my brother and my sister, especially those that are beginning to serve the Lord for a few years or a few months. The devil will use your past mistake, your past in your family, to try to keep you back from believing God's promises. In the time of Daniel, the devil was using the children of Israel's past to keep them enslaved. My brother and sister, and Daniel was praying against this. My brother and sister, you got to know the work of the devil. And this is part of his work. If he can use this, your past against you, your mistake in your past, the mistake in your family past, if you listen and believe his lies, it will keep you from repenting daily, being in the Word daily, meditating on the Word daily, and seeking God daily, as God has called us to do so. Be careful. Be careful. Don't let your enemy deceive you. Be ye not deceived, said Jesus. Because these are the way he works. This is the way he deceives people. My brothers and sisters. Daniel says in 9:20, I continue to pray and confess my sin and the sins of my people Israel, and humbly, hallelujah, place my request about my God in the holy mountain in front of the Lord my God. You heard people say, oh, you cannot confess the sin of someone else. Well, Daniel did. Daniel did. Read it right there, Daniel 9:20. It's in the chat room. He confessed his sin and confessed the sins of his people. Now, do you think God heard those prayers? Of course he did. For his people, of course he did. Of course he did. My brother and sister, praise your Lord. Praise your Jesus. You need to understand the mercy of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you another Bible verse in regard to that, because I heard people say that you cannot do that, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. James says in James 5, above all, brothers, stop swearing and all by heaven or by the earth or by any formula. Rather, let your yes be simply yes. Let your no be simply no, so that you will not fall in condemnation. Take a step here back. Every word in the Bible, every promise, is either yes or no. In the moment you're asking God for something, in that moment he may not answer you. Promise a yes, he would answer you on his timing. Okay? He would answer you. Now, verse 13. If someone among you is in trouble, he should pray. And if someone feeling good, he should sing sound and praise. Verse 14. If someone among you is ill, he should call the elder of the congregation, and they will pray for him and rub him olive oil on him in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered with trust will heal the one who's ill. And the Lord will restore his health. And if he has committed sin, he will forgive him. This is done among two or more, and the sin of this person has been forgiven in that prayer, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. You can pray over people, and you usually tell people, repent any sin, I will pray with you. And in that confession, you pray with a person, you will not believe what the Lord can do. I've done this for years with people, and the Lord has healed them spiritually. They have felt the healing of the Lord, healing power of Jesus. And when we pray for the physical healing has also happened, my brother and sister, in this person. Hallelujah. People with all kinds of different sickness all kinds of different sin they have committed that they have not confessed. But when we have tell them confess any sin, we will pray with you to the Lord right now as we're doing this prayer, as we're praying for you. And you won't believe the power of healing that will be released at that very moment, my brother and sister. Stunning power. Hallelujah. I believe the lack of confessing for sin keep us from being healed. And when I understood that, and I pray with people in the street, anywhere, in the hospital, at home, in the church, in prison, my brother and sister, in the nursing home, I saw the power of God being released through it. And I saw God healing them spirit through their soul. They felt the release healing. And their soul and the physical healing came afterward when we claim healing over their body, my brother and sister. A lot of people don't do it this way. I was being led to do it this way, and the Lord never failed me in healing the person. A glory be unto him, my brother and sister. But this is not being done because there's a lot of people now saying that you cannot do this with people, that their sin is between them and God, and you have nothing to do with it. But here's James saying, as we do it for this person, as you call the elder, as you call the girl, and we do this together, the healing that come forward. There is a soul healing there, and there's a physical healing there. I have experienced this hundreds and hundreds of times in the ministry, my brother and sister. If I will listen to those preachers that say that you cannot do this, I will not experience all those miracles in the ministry, my brother and sister. We need to be led by the Lord. We read the word. We may not understand. He will reveal it to us. He will help us. He will guide us, my brother and sister. But a lot of people, before they do anything or pray for anyone, they want to check with this pastor, this minister, what should I do? How should I do it? No. This is all under the leading of the Lord, under the guiding of the Holy Spirit, leading us, my brother and sister, to all truth, the Bible says. So if he's leading them to all truth, where's your mistake? They're telling you that you're making a mistake, but we're being led. How is what being led? We're making a mistake. This took me years to understand. My brother, if God is leading me, if God is telling me, go this way, do it this way, how am I making a mistake according to men? My brother and sister, hallelujah. There is no condemnation, Father says to me, for them that are in Christ, that not walk after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. So if I'm being led by the Spirit, I don't need to worry about what people say, because their word to you and I is to condemn us, to stop us from doing ministry. You won't believe the people that should be up there doing ministry that are not, because they have listened to people that's telling them that you don't do ministry on the street, you don't go out preaching, you don't go evangelizing, you don't reach out to other people. This is for the pastor. You come to a church, you let the pastor do it, or you bring them to the church and you let the pastor do it. My pastor on the earth started saying this stuff to me, that I had to bring them to the church, but that's not how God was leading me to do it. God, no matter where I was speaking to someone and God was giving me the word and the person was being convicted by the Lord, and then the person wanted to receive Jesus, and right there I said, you can say this prayer with me, confess the Lord, confess your sin, your trespasses, receive Jesus as your personal Savior, and the person was doing it right there with me, and the power of God will come and begin to set the person free. Then I will pray for them to be healed, and the Lord will heal them, my brother and sister. And there were times we brought them to the church, and they shared the testimony how God healed them, my brother and sister. But I never told them, now you need to be committed to the church. No, you come to the church, you come seeking God. But if my church is too far from you, well, you need to drive 40, 30 minutes to get in my church. If you have a local church closer to you, go there. What's the problem? You're seeking the Lord. You're not seeking men. My pastor had a problem with that. I'm like, oh, no. So it was a battle in the beginning. It was difficult because the Lord will lead me right and he will lead me the other way, my brother and sister. And it was hard. It's hard to do ministry. You need to be led by the Lord, the Bible says. He will guide you toward truth. As long as you're being led by the Lord, Yes, it's great to have counselor, to have accountability, other pastor, other leader. I have a great pastor friend of mine, accountability. We work together, my brother and sister. Okay, but we must be led by the Lord first. He is our commander-in-chief. He is the pastor. He lead us. He guide us. My brother and sister, that's why Jesus said, you must listen to me. I will tell you what to do. And that's it to me. Whatever the Lord lead us to do and guide us is what we do. We need to be careful, my brother and sister. I know there's a lot of you that go to church, that have a pastor, but you need to be in the Word and know what the Word of God says. But when they tell you something that is not in the Word, that is against what the Lord is guiding you by the Word, hallelujah, by His Spirit in you, the Spirit of God will lead you according to the Word of God, to the well of God, which is His Word. And man will lead you outside the Word of God. This happens many times, and it gets many people confused. Okay? Be ye not deceived. Let the Lord lead you to all truth. When the Lord is leading you, you will have peace and joy in the Lord. When man is leading you, you'll have confusion, a lot of headaches, and so much more. Migraine headaches. Those are terrible. Be careful, my brother and sister. Be careful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When your mind is centered on the Word, you will have peace and joy. When it's not, no, you won't. My brother and sister, we need to be led by the Lord in His will. Thank you, Jesus. Now, someone sent me today a word, hallelujah, of this man who claimed to know what's going to be coming out between 21 and 22 in regard to our government and the fallen angels, my brother and sister. And I listened to some of it. It is good information. Okay, I got it today. I have not asked the Lord about this word. I caution you, as the apostle said to the Thessalonians, take the good and leave the bad. Prophecy is something that we have to be careful in the last day. We did not want to be misled by any word that is not of the Lord, my brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, praise your God. Because now that I know that I have not asked the Lord about this word, now I'm hesitant to play it. Praise you, Lord. Someone send it to me. Thank you, Lord. And I'm just going to run that first word of this man because I have not asked the Lord. Amen. And then just put on the Sister Celestial. The Lord has given her. And because the Lord has confirmed to me that what He's giving her is of Him. I'm glad the Lord has, but not this other person. So I want to be careful not playing something that the Lord had not confirmed to me that is His. A Sister Celestia, the Lord has her information in regard to what the Lord has been showing us about the fallen angel, fallen demons that are about to take over this earth or come over this earth and do so much evil and wickedness. My brother and sister, upon humanity, who they are talking to these devices, it is terrible what the humanity, our government, our leader, this fallen Babylon system are receiving from the fallen one. It is so much false teaching, so much lie, so much deceit, my brother and sister, that we have to be very, very careful. There's so many people confused and deceived. Hallelujah. Being led wrong, being guided wrong, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. So James 5:16 said, therefore openly acknowledge your sin to one another. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. This is the key. Why? My brother and sister, when we pray, hallelujah, together, and the person repents of the sin and we do this prayer, I see many healing this way, many, many healing, and many healing spiritually, my brother and sister, and physical. Sometimes your soul, I've spoken with people whose soul has been very hurt. Hallelujah. Children that have left their home running, I have met them, and I have spoken with them, my brother and sister, and ministered to them, and the Lord has healed, hallelujah, their feeling, because the family had heard them, had spoken to them in ways they never thought they would. They had heard their feeling. They had ran out of their homes. My brother and sister ran away, and I had met them on the road and spoken with them and ministered to them, and they had told me what their mom or uncle, father had said to them, how they've been offended and hurt. And as I ministered to them, and the Lord, usually when someone is speaking to me these things, I say, okay, go ahead, I'll listen. And I'm meditating there. I'm asking the Lord to use me to give me the word for that person at that moment. He will give me the word that I will speak to this person, my brother and sister. And the Lord will give me a word for that person that will go directly to the heart, directly into the hurting, because the person needs to be healed. There are people that are so hurt that will not listen to you when you're talking to them about the Lord. They're so hurt, they don't want to hear it. But if you listen to them and you pray that the Lord will give you a word in your mind at that very moment, as you're listening to the person and the Lord gives you a word, hallelujah, you will be surprised the power of his word when you give out that word to the person. The Lord will heal the heart, the mind, that soul at that very moment. Hallelujah. And the Lord can give you the word and not just bring total healing. Okay? Because total healing is a process. And the Lord can do a total healing quickly. But it's also a process because when the person gets hurt, it's a process. It takes a time, my brother and sister. And when you minister back to the person, the power of God begins to heal them. I've seen people being healed so much in one area, but still being hurt in another area. And so this is why the person needs to continue to listen to the word, to the teaching, my brother and sister, to be a minister, and then the person gets healed. Hallelujah. In such a special way where I've seen people being hurt where they didn't want to hear nobody until later on they're testifying and reaching out to other people to help other people, my brother and sister. So it's possible. I seen that in a short time. I seen it in a few months, and I also seen it in a few years. Some people are when they believe, because it's all done by faith, it sometimes it's being done quicker than other people who do not believe. A lot of people just want to argue, but when you let them know that you don't stand for argument, God will use you to minister to the person, my brother and sister. The other nine, that's what the Lord was showing me. He's going to use some of us in this revival to reach out. I saw myself and others reaching now, and Jesus was speaking to us, and he was saying to me that in this manner, he wanted to use us to heal other people's heart in order for them to come in, because there are many people hurt up there. And the Lord was showing me that he had prepared life and brought us to where he can use us, my brother and sister, for him to heal the heart. So this revival is not so much on showing the power of God, because they're going to see it, but it's also on the Lord healing people's heart through us. Where right now there are people who do not want to heal. They're not vaccinated. But they don't want to hear it. Okay, for some reason, they don't know, out of their control, they don't agree with the vaccine, they're not willing to take it, but they're not serving God. And they've been so hurt in church and by other people that they don't want to hear it. The Lord wants to save some of them, because remember, if he has them on his list for them to come home and be saved, my brother and sister, he was telling me that he had prepared us to reach out to them. My brother and sister, he was standing there next to me, telling me these things the other night. Like, okay, Lord. Okay. Praise you. I didn't know these things until he spoke to me. My brother and sister, there are people he wants to heal their heart. Hallelujah. We mostly focus on the external healing, the healing in the body. If they have anything broken or cancer or HIV or any sickness, we focus on that. But there are people that is more than that, my brother and sister. It's totally different than just a physical healing. It's more their soul that are wounded. It's like their soul is sick. And God wants to use us to heal them, my brother and sister, in order for them to come in. Hallelujah. Receive the Lord, come into his kingdom. Hallelujah. And he said, this way I want to use you. He was saying, and show me a few brothers and sisters. He's going to use them this way in the coming revival, my brother and sister. But I kept thinking as the Lord was speaking and was telling me about these things, and I'm seeing the power of God tremendously. I kept thinking there's not much time for that. But for that specific healing, it's going to happen fast when the person opens the heart. That doesn't mean we're going to be here long. And no, none of that. None of that. It's in a specific healing he wants to do, my brother and sister, that we focus on the physical healing. We just want to show people the power of God and people be praising God, my brother and sister, because we love the Lord. We love God. And we want his power to be seen. We want people to see the power of God and worship God. Amen. We all want to see that. But there are people that are hurt, hallelujah, that the Lord will tell you to go speak to them, because I want to heal their heart. I want to heal their soul. I want to heal their wound. And you will speak to them, my brother and sister. Other people, he may want you to show his power. I saw some of my brothers and sisters, they were raising people from the dead, putting a dead body in front of them, and they will grab that person by the hand there and say, get up in the name of the Lord, and immediately the power of God will come on that person, and the person will get up. I was like, whoa, praise you, Lord. Worship God now. And the person will be jumping. The dead person now is alive, jumping up and down, worshiping God and being thankful. That's awesome. A lot of people want to see that, my brother and sister. So there is a combination, as I'm understanding what the Lord was saying to me, of things that are going to happen, my brothers and sister. Hallelujah. And this revival is a short revival. That's why when the Lord was speaking to me, I kept thinking, but it's going to be short. It's not going to be, yes, it is short. Hallelujah. So mostly what I understand is he wants us to be effective. It's short, but effective in the Lord, my brother and sister. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so, hallelujah, he's going to use us. It's his plan and his agenda. He's going to use us shortly. It will happen. I don't know how many months this revival. I believe it was about 3 months. It's for a short season, my brother and sister. But everything is in the hand of the Lord for sure. There is a transformation coming, which my understanding is it's going to change us. I hear people asking a lot about the 3 days of darkness, because when I saw the darkness, right after the darkness, we were changed, we were transformed. And the Lord keeps saying to his people that the 3 days of darkness are here and they can happen any day. That's a transformation to me. Okay? And he's speaking to me the other night. We were already changed. I was in my glorified body, and the other brothers and sisters the same. My brother and sister, in our glorified body. And so I know we have a lot of questions, my brother and sister. But again, the Lord is doing this. Okay? He will be among us. You will see him. And the moment he changes you into your glorified body, you're going to see Jesus right away. So whatever question you have, that is your moment right there to us. Remember that. Okay? I may not be able to explain everything. I can only tell you what he's showing me, what he's saying to me. But when you see him face to face, ask your question right away. Don't miss a moment, because he can give you 1,000 answers. He can answer you 1,000 questions in less than a second, and you'll be fully satisfied. You want to ask those questions right away, let him answer you, and then go out to do the ministry, because it's going to be short. It's the effectiveness, like the Bible says, if no day will be not shortened, no flesh will be saved. And that to me now gives a more deepest understanding, my brother and sister. Since the days are so short, the rapture is about to happen, Paul says that we will be changing, transforming in the blink of an eye. So our transformation comes first, my brother and sister. And so when we are transformed and then he uses us in a glorified body, it's shortly, but it's going to be very effective because we will be moving under the power of God, my brother and sister. And that's the awesomeness of this, moving in his power. God performing the miracles in the things that, hallelujah, are going. He's going to do. His plan, his agenda. So that's all settled. Now, the other things the Lord was showing me, okay, which I shared with my wife, was that the Lord is going to answer people, hallelujah, their petition, okay? There are many people that have many petitions before the Lord, and he's going to answer them, my brother and sister, okay? These petition of blessing, okay, the wealth of the wicked will be passed on unto the righteous, the Bible says, okay, unto God's people. So there will be a wealth transfer, my brother and sister, coming up. But that wealth transfer that the Lord will give is going to be shortly. When I tell you shortly, I'm going to tell you what Jesus showed me. After that wealth been passed to God's people, my brother and sister, I saw when President Biden cut it short and declared bankruptcy in the United States. The Lord allowed me to see this. I was like, wow. He declared bankruptcy, my brother and sister. So all that wealth that people had, it was shortly. They had beautiful houses, but no money in the bank right away. Okay? This is why anything that happened from now on is short. Short season, short lived. Everything is short. Okay? The wedding celebration is waiting for us. We need to arrive. We need to come into our chamber. Enter into thy chamber. Isaiah said unto the indignation passes. Well, the indignation is the 7-year great tribulation. Okay? So everything from now on is what the Lord showed me. It's short-lived, okay? Short, very short. You'll be surprised how things will be unfolding quickly. My brother and sister, I've been saying this since last year, and we're already seeing by virus, by sin, within months, quickly, my brother and sister, okay? Amen. Lord, repair the card in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. My brother and sister, things are going to happen quickly. Okay, there's not going to be waiting for much of this or that. It's just going to be happening right in front of us, my brother and sister. Our God, our economy is going to fall. And the Lord was showing me this. When Biden filed for bankruptcy, my brother and sister, he came up on television and told the people, that's it. There was no more money in the bank, in their bank account. Everyone's bank account came to nothing. People are going to go out of control. But they got everything ready. They got the FEMA accounts ready. They have the soldier, the army. They're already placing them in every state slowly. They'll have them ready to go to action and declare martial law, my brother and sister. And things like this are going to happen quickly. Okay, I was showing someone in a page online. Okay, there's a page online. I should have had it saved here, where they show you how their soldiers are being placed in the different states. Brother and sister, they're getting ready for martial law. They know the economy is going to fall. Okay, it's going to fall, my brother and sister. They know. They know this is it. They know they have no more money. And they know they cannot keep printing out money without any gold. Until they're finally going to tell people, okay, this is it. But before they do, that's why he passes the law where the IRS can know if you have $600 in your bank account. Because less than that is what he wants to leave you in your bank account. That is why. I kept wondering why. And now that the Lord showed me what he's going to do soon, my brother and sister, they want to monitor what everyone has. Because what everyone has will be taken away in the blink of an eye, quickly. My brother and sisters. Okay? And it's soon. It's close. It really is close. My brother and sister. Some people are expecting it this year. I don't know. I just know it's soon. I just know it's soon. I won't be surprised if it happens this year. They're changing. They're expecting to happen this year. I won't be surprised. I just know it's soon. It's close. Remember what the Lord showed me last year for this year. Even in 2020, he showed me for this year that we will experience, my brother and sister. So everything is close. God is in control for sure. It's when God says so. But because he has said it would happen, it's going to happen. My brother and sister, we just need to know and understand that these things are coming. My brother and sister, and that we will see a lot of these things unfolding. We're not here for the great tribulation, which is also about to begin. My brother and sister, we'll go into those topics in the Bible on Tuesday night. Don't miss Tuesday night Bible study. We'll get into the Bible again. We'll read it. We'll study it together. We'll pray for the Lord to reveal us more. My brother and sister, we want to stay informed on the latest news from the Bible. Before it comes on the media, we want to see it in the Bible first. My brother and sister, so they are printed black and white. We can go ahead and see them. Let me see if they are.
You have suppressed the Eucharist. He then says they will release a terrifyingly lethal virus in January or February of 2022. People will die in the streets. You will see a lot of corpses in the streets that nobody will remove. He doesn't know the name of it, but he says it's very like Ebola. People will bleed through their eyes, their nose, their mouth, and their ears. This will happen before the war, and people will die within hours. He thinks it will be transmitted through the air. It is also tremendously contagious. He says 90% of the vaccinated will die in the next 2 years. There is no way out of this. Whoever has taken two vaccines has no hope whatsoever. The virus that is coming in January or February has no cure. It might be worthwhile, though, to keep an eye on Marian websites to see if some plant or other is recommended later on. In the next month or two, that is November, December, Pfizer will distribute a tablet free of charge. This is very important. He warns everybody, warns them very severely, that anybody who takes this tablet will die in excruciating death. Pfizer will tell you that it's an anti-COVID pill. He says it's important that we realize that during the blackout, they will poison the water supply of large cities as well. In some cities, nobody will be left alive. He thinks this will happen in cities with a population greater than 100,000 people. And boiling the water, by the way, won't solve the problem, because the poison will still remain there. This is why I say that what is coming is much worse than what you can ever imagine. And it's even much worse than what I thought it would be myself. This extermination is being directed personally by Lucifer, who is guiding the world elite. He says those who govern the world are non-human entities. He suspects also that because of a war to the death between these people at the top, Satan had to personally assume control of everything. He says the acceleration of events, which is now very fast, makes him suspect this. These events should be happening, he says, in 2026 and not in 2021. This acceleration of events is not normal. It should have been a more gradual process, he thinks. This is why he suspects there has been a war between the global elite, causing events to accelerate. After the blackout, World War III and the asteroid, will come events that are even worse. Finally, all the global elite who will take refuge in state-of-the-art underground cities and bunkers will all be drowned and crushed to death. Their bunkers will be their tombs.
Hello again and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers, you are very welcome. If you're new, it might be a good idea for you to get the hang of the channel by taking a look at the playlists that are available on the channel dashboard. I've grouped these prophetic messages according to theme, especially when I was treating the various serious themes that this channel is handling. This is a judgment channel that is bringing forth the judgment prophecies and warnings of the Lord Jesus Christ to his church first. So this channel is to the body of Christ first and to anyone else who will find it and be willing to hear what the Lord is saying in these days, in this era, in this time. So on the channel dashboard, the first series that I dealt with was the Russia and the China series. It is extremely important to understand what messages God has brought to the United States concerning Russia and China, because Russia and China form, in a way, the core of the judgment that the Lord will bring upon this nation. There will be invasion from these twin superpowers, and they will be backed up by a very large array of allies. And so in order for you to really understand many of the smaller prophecies, if they can be called that, on the Master's Voice, it would be a good idea for you to start on that playlist. After that playlist, I went into the Sin series, and that took several months. And I did not read out all the prophecies that the Lord had listing the sins of America, such as abortion, such as murder, such as wars of aggression, such as the extensive lying and selfishness and many other things that the Lord says are ingrained in the imprint of the American continent. So it was Russia and China playlist first, and then the Sin series, and then after the Sin series was the America series. So the America series was just more of what was in the Sin series. You can find all these playlists available. Right now I am currently in the Supernatural playlist. So I am looking at things that do not necessarily fit your everyday understanding of Christianity. We have a certain view of Christianity, and yet the Lord is looking for us to go extensively deeper in that view. And the primary reason is this. Although our faith is a completely 100% supernatural one, God's church is not living in a supernatural way. So it is very rare and difficult to find a local body or even the mindset of the natural body that still believes, for instance, that the power and the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ are for today. Many people do not believe in the spiritual gifts in the church. Many people do not believe in the five functionaries or the fivefold ministry that God has set in the church to edify, prepare, build, steward, and shepherd his body. And so with the church basically plucking and breaking off and casting away so many of the basic supernatural and fundamental pillars that the house of God, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, is built on, is it any wonder in the church today that many of us are lethargic? We are stuck in our faith. We are struggling with sin, and we are wondering where the power of God is. Many Christians actually in their heart do not possess what is called a living faith. From Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, which says, he who comes to God must first believe that God is and that God is a rewarder. If people have doubts or questions about the God that they say they're serving, can there be any kind of living faith in their relationship with that God? And so this Supernatural series is commissioned by the Lord to talk about things that Orthodox Christianity just doesn't talk about. There are things that even I, as a believer sitting here, having been with the Lord for decades, never heard in the church sermon. It never came to mind, and it was not until the Lord God himself, God took it upon himself to draw me aside and teach me our faith anew. It was not until the Father did that some years ago, quite a few years ago, actually, almost 10, that I began to have the much deeper understanding of the things that are in the scripture, the sub-themes. I wouldn't even call them sub-themes. Many of the things I'm talking about are the major themes that the Bible carries, but they're not being taught today. And so the prophecy that I have today is called "The Fallen Ones Will Rule." So you may remember, I think it would be about 2 weeks ago now, I brought a prophecy from the Lord that is called "The Fallen Ones Will Return." And in that prophecy, I was discussing how God revealed to me that at a certain time in the future, we can expect to see fallen creatures that we do not normally hear about and do not understand. Fallen angels, but not only fallen angels, we can expect to have our world openly exposed to, you could almost say invaded by, fallen creatures such as the ones that are called aliens. But it's not only going to be creatures coming from the sky, it is going to be creatures that will emerge out of the water, out of the heavily wooded areas, out of the high altitude areas, you know, the snowy mountains and the hills that only dedicated hikers go up, and even from frozen areas of the world. Today, however, is examining the hidden hand of power of these creatures in human society. And so today's prophecy is called "The Fallen Ones Will Rule." And I got this 2 days after the first one. This is June 29, 2021. The banner scripture is this: "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen who are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor do they seek the Lord." And so, the morning that I woke up, it was because the Lord woke me up that morning, June 29, and he woke me up straight into a conversation, which he does very frequently. And he said that the governments of this world are not real. So all the structures that we see, the political systems and the systems of voting and the systems of governance that we know, not here in the United States alone, but all over the world, the Lord said that these governments are not real. He said that they are compromised and they are very heavily manipulated and they are guilty of spiritual robbery of the citizens of those nations. The people that we see running governments are puppets, is what the Lord said. And he said that they are slaves to higher leadership. So there is a level above the visible government that we see. There is a level above them. And many people have names for them, names that I don't want to mention, because when you say these things, the channel gets tags on them, and the channel gets, it just gets noticed in a negative manner. But if I use the word dash, I'm just using it to break up the algorithm's ability to follow. So people talk about things like the Illumi, Dash, Nati, and things like that. But God said that the visible government that we see are slaves and puppets, and that there's a higher leadership above them. But then the Father went further, and he said that the higher leadership has another layer of leadership above it. And that is what we are going to talk about today. Here are his words. "None of it is real, Celestial. All that you see on the news and in televised events and international conferences," he's talking about things like the G20 and the G7 and all the many United Nations meetings and WHO meetings and things like that, where we basically get the rules that we live by day to day. So all these famous things that we see, the Lord says that these international conferences and all these televised events are mere theater and pageantry. In other words, it's just a show. It is all pretense. It is false manipulated drama to mislead the public into thinking that they actually know how things are done. They think they're watching how decisions are made in the world and how nations interact. It makes people feel included in the government, but actually they're simply being deceived into thinking that their choices and contributions matter. They think that the choices and contributions they make are how outcomes are actually reached. People believe that they are essential to the process of government, how leaders are chosen, and how policy is made, but nothing could be further from the truth. Ordinary people are not needed or included at all. And so at this point, I will share just a tiny bit because I already shared it in one prophecy on the blog. I think it's called The Giants Will Return. The way I came into some of this knowledge was not an orthodox way. I said that I've been in the church for a long time, and I love the Church of Jesus Christ. It is so life-giving and so vibrant, and I was raised by very passionate pastors who kept the true word of the Lord. They brought us up without compromise, and they gave us the whole counsel of God for the most part, in as much as it was revealed to them. But as I said in the beginning of this video, things like giants and things like what really happened in the Genesis 6 incursion of fallen angels into this earth, or the fact that at the end of time there will be people among us who were not people, or what's the real meaning of the iron will cling and blend with the clay, these things were not taught to us. And so God sovereignly waited for a time in my life when I was not so surrounded by noise. You see, this world, I just shared this in a new prophecy on the blog where I was just uploading some old videos, saying this entire world is geared to be loud and noisy for a reason. When there's so much activity and there's so much you have to do, taking your kids to the daycare and going to work and dealing with spreadsheets, and if you notice, the workday has become longer even though more people are working from home. So you're supposed to have more comfort, but you find that you seem to be working longer, and that's because we're now being captive for long periods of time, staring at these Zoom screens and things like that. And when you're busy and there's noise, if you're not deliberate about making time for God in your life, you will not get the time. So don't think that the daycare is going to become shorter, or the hours of homeschooling that your children need is going to become shorter. Your boss is suddenly going to say, you know, Todd, you look tired. I'm going to give you less work for the next 5 months. It's not going to happen. In fact, one thing my pastor always said since I was young is every person has as much of God as they want. If you have 2 ounces of God, it's because that's what you want. Because if you want to increase how much God you have, you simply have to make the time for God. That means that you have to go through your available life and cut out time from other activities and put that time together and say, God, this is your time. This is how God knows that we care about him, and this is how he knows we are devout, when we take time and fellowship with him seriously. And so I had many responsibilities in life and in church. I was an integral part of the church. And the Lord, I know the Lord was pleased with my service because he always made it apparent to me through others and through speaking to me directly. But there came a time where there was going to be a large chunk of time available to me because I was taking time off to study. And before I went to study, a very trustworthy woman in the church, a woman with fruit, a woman who had raised such lovely teenage children, she came to me and she said, Celestial, the Lord gave me a message for you, and the Lord said that he is well pleased with you. However, he says that you don't really have the truth. Now, when many people hear this, they will instantly react, and that's because a lot of us have not come up in proper churches where you are taught to honor the word of people with fruit. Many of us feel that nobody can speak to us, and if anyone says things like this to us, then obviously our first response will be like, you can't judge me. This is the new culture of today. You can't judge me. You don't know my story. You don't know my struggle. And what people who have this kind of mindset and reaction don't know is that you are robbing yourself of the beauty of correct. You are robbing yourself of the opportunity that God will always seek to use other people to direct you, to prune you, to clip off your dead branches so that you can become more vigorous as a plant and grow tall. And so when this lady said this to me, obviously it hurt at some level because I loved God with my entire being, and to this day I still do. So to hear that you're reading the Bible diligently, studying and praying, and you can hear the voice of the Lord directing your steps, but also many other people's steps through you, something in that stung. But I honored this lady and I listened to what she said to me, and I kept it like Mary in her heart The Bible says that many things about Jesus was told to Mary, but being his mother, she kept it in her heart, meaning that she didn't go and yammer about it to her friends and say, do you know how she had the nerve to say that to me? No, I kept that woman's words in my heart, and I went off to school, and I was cut off from this church community for a period of 2 years. And in that 2 years, my only responsibility was to study, to have understanding, and to get the best grades that I could. And it was in that time that God came to me and began to reveal all these things to me. The way I found out that the world system is not what it is was painful. It was shocking. I was preparing an assignment for banking. It was a banking assignment. And with my background in law, we don't get much exposure to this. And so I was having to read and study three times as much as many of the other students because they were economics majors and things like that. And I had no intention of failing this class. And so I figured, like everyone else, it would be faster to go to YouTube to watch the videos. I figured that I could make up the huge chunks of written knowledge that I didn't know by simply watching videos on what the IMF is and what the World Bank is and what the BRICS Bank and different things were. So I figured if I watch, I'll catch up faster. The problem was that whenever I would watch a video, you know, YouTube has an algorithm that recommends videos like the video you are watching on the side. Whenever I would be watching a video, the recommendations would be more banking videos that I could choose from to continue my learning. But in between, I would see odd videos like the truth about human sacrifice in America. The truth about satanic rituals and the banking industry. And I found it so odd. So day after day, when I have spare time, I'm watching these videos and I'm putting them into a playlist so that I can go through them and start my push up into higher and faster understanding of these things that I did not learn in my first round of school. But eventually, one day, as curiosity will do, I clicked a video, and what I saw in that video destroyed my view of how things exist. It completely ruined the image that I had of this world, and in a way, it rocked to the core my Christianity, and just like this, that rocking went all the way down until it hit the foundation of my faith. And it cracked. And this is the honest truth. What I saw in that video and a few other videos cracked my Christianity to the foundation. And I know that many people out there have been going through that as they've come to this channel. Your world has been rocked and cracked and destroyed when you have found out that children are kept in hidden places in this nation and they are tortured and in some cases they are eaten and they are murdered and that not every child that goes missing in this nation is a runaway. I've shared videos on this channel where God has revealed what America does with runaway, that they end up starring in what are called snuff films where they are put to death. And so when I watched that video and I watched one or two others, I was horrified. And of course, the first person that you would take any emotion to is God, at least for me. And I was seeking God in serious prayer, asking him how this could be true, that this could not be true, because he is God and he controls the entire world. In fact, up until that point, when I would read the book of Psalms and it would say the wicked lie in wait, I always thought it's your average enemy. You know, your average everyday person who's within your life and who's within your circle that did not wish you well. I had no clue that there are high-ranking confederacies of the wicked. This is people with global power and global influence who gather together in tight and powerful circles to make decisions that impact the well-being and the eventual life or death, as in who has the right to live and who has the right to die or who will be put to death. It never entered my head that such things could exist. And so when I found out about organizations like the Masons, and when I found out that things like the Knights Templar and what else? The Illumi-you-know-what. When I found out that these things were real, I was shattered at a very core level. This did not just happen as, oh, you know, my knowledge of popular truth is not quite what I thought it was. No, it went to the bedrock of my faith. If you are a true Christian, then your faith is actually soldered to your being, and your entire worldview flows out of God being almighty. And so I greatly struggled. I greatly struggled, like I see many of you struggling now. And I had questions as to how these people had come to power and how could these people have been operating with so much freedom, not for a year or five or 12, but for hundreds of years. And the Lord was good to me. You see, many people will cast away God as God because they think that if God is almighty, then there should be no evil. And yet, all you have to do is go back to Genesis and see that God could have wiped out Adam and Eve if he wanted an evil-free world. He could have killed Adam, even the snake right there. But he has allowed things to play out for his own higher purposes. And one of those purposes is that man must understand that man is accountable for his own evil. People always say, why isn't God judging the sin? And I will always answer, because there is sin in your life, and should the judgment come, it will come also to you. Are you ready to be burnt even 12% as the other person burns to maybe 22 or 200% as you think they deserve? There's no such thing as my tiny sin and those other people who commit abortions or those other people who are pedophiles. Huge, huge sin. God doesn't have a fish lens in his eye. A fish lens is a lens that curves things so that the things that are far away look really huge, but the things that are close to you look really tiny. So the sin that is close to us always looks small, and we can just say, oh, Daddy God, I'm so sorry. But then the sin that is out there is so massive and must be judged right away because it's being done by the human trafficking cartel. Human trafficking cartel people will stand and receive their judgment, and the people who tell lies and manipulate the relationships in their family and cause strife, all those little shockwaves that go out and destroy families and hurt people, and they carry that hurt for years, they will also be judged the same as the trafficking people. When I found out these things, it was shattering. But the Lord did not allow me to withdraw from the truth. You see, I would be useless to God if I was like many people that I meet. This can't be true. It's not true. This doesn't happen in America. Should I have been that type of denier, the Lord's revelations to me could have gone no further. But not only did he confirm that what I had seen was true, God then took hold of the two little pieces that had been torn open by that video, and he completely ripped the veil in my life until my old faith had no choice but to succumb, to be burnt up in fire and cast away. And that is why I'm here now, a completely new person, telling you things that you may have never heard before. So I continue. The Lord said that the leaders we see do not really control the governments. They are puppets and slaves, and the media is heavily manipulated, and nothing they say is trustworthy. The Lord said, they are actors. They are paid and coached to tell you things with extreme bias and with cunning pressure so that you can believe them as opposed to believing anyone else. There is no truth in the media. There is only mockery and self-interest based on their service to the highest bidder. So there are people who have done the research, and they found that as many as it seems that we have newspapers around the world, but especially here in the United States, there's a plethora of newspapers, plethora of news outlets and things. So it seems like you're really, excuse me, please. It seems that you're spoiled for choice. When you watch the news, you have so many options. But if you boil them down, you'll find just a few hands handling and controlling the money that is behind the news media. So when God is talking to me, I see visions. Sometimes these are very clear visions. Sometimes it's just one huge scene in front of me. Sometimes things are appearing at the left and right of the field of my vision, and maybe one thing in the middle. Sometimes they are coming across like this and converging, just like a montage in a superhero movie. So, And sometimes they are not very clear. Sometimes it's like an understanding rising up from within me, like a bubble rising up from a pond before it finally pops on the surface. But here are the things that I saw on June 29, and I would like you to please pay attention and listen because they're very important. The first clear vision that I saw is that I saw people coming into a big iron room. This room was freezing. It was what I can only call sub-zero temperatures. So it was a huge iron room, and it was so cold, in fact, that the human beings that came into this room were wearing the kind of coats that they wear in Russia. You know those very, very heavy coats that look like they were directly carved out of a bear's pelt? That's what they were wearing, and hats to cover their ears and most of their foreheads. They came into this gray room, and this room had nothing in it in terms of furniture. This room was entirely made of metal. So it was just one big metal container-like place, and all the furniture in it was bolted to the floor and close to me. So if I'm standing here, everything that I'm viewing is ahead in front of me. Directly in front of me was a metal chair with a very high back and a steel table that was bolted to the floor. This chair was almost like a throne, but not quite. It was made of one flowing solid piece. So I didn't see any sharp edges on it. It looked like it had just been made from one molten piece of metal when the metal was hot, and then it was smooth when it became cool. And these human beings were then the furthest thing. So I was watching, and the door at the far end, sorry about my finger, the door at the far end opened, and about four or five men came in. And the being that was sitting in this chair was not facing me directly. I was standing behind the being, and all I saw, here's the top of the chair, and then rising above that was a huge head. The head was shaped exactly like the end of a spring onion. So it was a very big, bulbous head. It was just like the cartoon Megamind. So you don't have to watch Megamind, but if you just look at the picture, Megamind, you will see what Megamind's head looked like. And it had long fingers, very long fingers, and each finger was like the edge of a frog, like a tadpole, rounded and a little flat, very skinny fingers like string beans. And the flesh of this creature, including the fingers, looked dead and rotten. It looked like licorice. So the flesh was actually twisty. I guess if you could peel our skin off and maybe see how the muscles rope together, this thing looked like it had been peeled, and it was just the roped muscle that was twisty like licorice, and the flesh looked dead, rotten, and wrinkly. And then the next thing that I saw, so these men came into this room to meet with this creature, and it was talking to them, and it raised a hand, and that's how I got to see what the fingers looked like as it was speaking to them and giving them instructions. The next image I saw was a vision of Tucker Carlson, very brief. I saw a man in his living room. He was sitting in his living room, and he was watching the nightly news, and he happened to be watching Tucker Carlson. And Tucker was giving the news, and he was very animated, and then he made a statement, and he went, in mockery of whatever or whoever he was talking about. And then in this person's living room, I couldn't see the person. I was standing behind the person's armchair, and the person was sitting in their armchair, and there was a big dog next to them, a German Shepherd, and they were rubbing the head of their dog. And then when Tucker made that observation of the news, and then he went, the man in the chair did the same thing. And I thought of what the Lord's words were. When you deliver the news as a personal opinion, you manipulate the minds of the people who are listening to you. You feed into their personal beliefs. So the personal beliefs that the person already has is what makes them watch a certain news channel. And then when they go to that news channel will act as an echo chamber, meaning that somebody will tell you all the things that you want to hear. Already, the news channel will back up all your personal beliefs, and then you will say, that's why I love these guys, because they give the news. But actually, they're acting as a very false mirror into your own hearts. So all the things that you think and feel and believe, you will find in a certain place. That is why certain people watch red TV and certain people watch blue TV, and nobody else wants to cross to the other because there is no balanced view anyway. The Lord says that you feed into people's personal beliefs and you also back up their insecurities. You dispel or you reinforce their existing views, and eventually you make them very one-dimensional and hard-hearted. And so this person was mimicking what Tucker was doing because Tucker thought whatever he had said about whoever or that piece of news was nonsense. And the person mirrored that view, and so he made the same sound. The Lord said the news is not objective. It's not true anyway, but it's also not objective. It tears America apart. It polarizes America, and it divides it into North and South, rich and poor, black and white, until Americans cannot find common ground anymore through their news and popular broadcasting. Everything is done by the media to divide and rule, and the media plays the biggest role in that. And so in one of the prophecies where the Lord was speaking about how this nation will eventually end up in civil war, one of the things that God said was that the media will be called the war whips. He called them the war whips. A war whip is a person who comes out on public TV or some form of public broadcasting and begins to use inflammatory language. They can't do this. They can't get away from this. Why? We ought to rise up. We ought to do something about it. A war whip is basically what got America involved in the Second World War. She could have avoided war, which is what the people wanted. But the government cleverly used propaganda and little shorts and said that the Germans are eating babies out there and soon Hitler will crush the world and American might will crush the Reich and things like that until Americans eventually abandoned their very wise stance to mind their business and build their economy in a dangerous world time. And they went into the war. And as you know, there were lots of casualties that this nation suffered before the Allies finally took victory. And so war whips, the Lord said, in future will stir this country up until Americans will arm themselves. The Lord has shown me visions where even people who have never picked up a weapon before are going to get weapons licenses. And he just shares these things with me personally to let me know that this country will become like a crock pot. It's already slowly boiling now because of pressures like rising unemployment and not being able to get the truth from any kind of sources, not being able to get actual numbers about what's going on with the health situation and crisis in this country. But it will build up to the point where people will feel so unsafe because crime is going to skyrocket. I've already shared in the videos that the Lord said that the police will become like a bully gang and they will not come and help people. They will be five of them responding to someone who needs a parking ticket. But when your house is surrounded by armed robbers and they're smashing your windows like purge anarchy to get in, even when the call is going out on the radio for the nearest officers to respond, they will not come because they do not want to lose their lives. Because criminals are going to be so bold in America that it's literally, I'm repeating from these prophetic words that are on the blog, such as the breakdown of America. Another one is called Signs of Ruin in America. The Lord said that this country will become a gangland, an actual gangland. That means every man for himself. That means every husband, you defend your wife and children the best you can. Don't think that you're calling 911. Don't think that your neighbor will think this is outrageous and come and help you. It will be your strength, your wife's strength, and your children's strength against whoever has come to cause harm at your home. So we will not be able to depend on government services. And all of this is going to be because the media is going to greatly tear at the fabric of this nation. And so I began to see a montage of pictures fading in and out, and the Lord was showing me the lost era of when American newscasting had integrity. And so I saw journalists from the time when they were called reporters, when they actually were called gumshoe because they would walk the streets so much that they would wear out the soles of their shoes, chasing down a story. I began to see men smoking way too many cigarettes and sitting in cars outside warehouses or sitting outside buildings, spying on criminals so that they could get the scoop. I saw men and women who were relentless to break a story, break stories about corruption, break stories about government lies, break stories about public spending excess, and things like that. God showed me how the reporters of the past were diligent because they wanted to expose lies and corruptions and dirty dealings and then splash them on the front pages of America's print and media broadcasting so the nation could know the truth. But eventually, these images came together. Like one of the images I saw was I saw a man arguing with his boss, and his boss was trying to tell him that the story he was pursuing was too dangerous, not for his personal health, but for the newspaper. He was trying to let this man know that we have, you know, the guys upstairs are not going to like this kind of story. It might look bad. And the reporter was saying, "Boss, it's on me." That's what he said in this vision. "If it goes wrong, boss, it's on me." And God was basically showing me that there was a time when America had integrity, a lost era, when you chased the story not to get your name on the front page, but because you truly had morals and you wanted the nation to know the truth. But he said that now the newscasters are celebrities. So all they care about is the number of who tunes in. And you know when you're motivated by how many are watching your segment or your show, whether it's Bill Maher or Rachel Maddow, both of these people were shown to me in this vision. That's why I'm mentioning their names besides Tucker Carlson. God says that the newscaster is no longer interested in the truth of the news. They're just interested in the views of the news, how many eyes are on their shows, so they can know how high their ratings are. And this means that the person becomes motivated to use as many shocking tactics as they can get away with in order to keep the viewership high. And so the last thing that I will speak about that the Lord showed me is how governments operate. I saw a magician come up to the table and pick up some cards, and he began to do some very amazing card tricks that were so amazing that even me watching the vision, I was like, oh, wow. And I was marveling at what this man did. And then his last trick was he took all these cards and then he threw them up in the air, and I was waiting for them to come down, and they didn't. And then he said, poof, and he walked away. So I walked up to the table. There were still a few cards left. The ones he had thrown up into the air vanished, but there were still a few cards that he hadn't been playing with on the table, and I walked up to them. And when I turned the cards over, every single one said, ballot, ballot, the voting ballots. And I understood that God was showing me how voting takes place in the nations of the world. So here in America, there have been some recent statements that have been made, strong convictions held by the population, or at least a segment of the population. I'm not going to speak to that. But it is a fact that in many other parts of the world, they experience voter fatigue because their elections are openly tampered with. These are people who have had the same president for 35 to 27 years. The same guy always wins the elections. And in fact, unless this person topples in a coup d'etat, that person will never leave office. So there are people globally who may watch this video who will be very familiar with what I'm saying, about what I'm saying. And then people in the West think that their elections have so much integrity and they are not tampered with. But this is what God is saying. It is a joke and a farce when people go to the polls to vote. Doesn't matter where that is. He said, even the happy, peaceful countries, he says, in the happy, peaceful countries where people are actually happy with their leaders, what happens is that those people mark their ballots with the person that not the visible puppet government or the higher leadership, the unseen hand of power. He said that those people have chosen the right candidate that the unseen hand of power wanted in power anyway. And so that's why those people are allowed, please hear the word that I'm using, allowed to come to power. He said in other places, however, when people do not mark their ballots with the desired candidate, the masters will simply call in the magician. And then those ballots will go missing. So they'll get lost or they'll be delayed or even new false ballots will be stuffed into the counting bins while the original ballots that were filled in will be thrown away. Poof. And they will be burned or spoiled or they will not be counted at all. And that will be done until the vote count reaches the desired level that the unseen hand wants it to reach. The Lord said, all visible government is a joke. It is an ongoing pretense that keeps people content and easy to manage. And this turns back to the personal snippet that I shared in the beginning. It was a very huge shock for me to learn that there are forces and people and organizations that have a say in the outcome of votes aside from what people choose. When I began to learn about these organizations that actually have more power than the governments that come in, when I began to learn that the people who are in power are actually people that are chosen long before the moment that we see them appeared, people who are groomed and prepped and told when they're 10 years old, your moment is going to come and you're going to be the ruler. It was shocking to me. And I need especially the United States of America to understand, for God has said all these things in the prophecy redacted information revealed that no president this country has ever had since Mr. Kennedy is a president that you chose. So it doesn't matter how happy people were when the red team won and they waved their flag, or when fortunes would shift a few years later and the blue team would seem to win back power. The Lord says that since that man passed away, nobody you have ever seen is separate from this control. So let that be, I think, a wake-up call to quite a few people who have the mindset that certain people are chosen by God. God is not involved in the leadership of this country at all. He doesn't pick your puppets. You do. And this is the reason why when the judgment prophecies are read out by myself on this channel and people are like, oh, but why is this happening? We had a chance and we missed that chance. The Lord wants people to know that part of the judgment comes from the fact that over the decades, various hearts of voter-ready Americans have constantly chosen the unseen hand of the beast system. If anyone is confused as to why the country is here now, one person didn't do it. It was cumulatively done by many, many administrations that you chose. And so the last thing he said to me is that the fallen ones are the ones controlling the governments. Please think of that thing with the very huge head that I spoke of. He said that these creatures are the one who dictate to the visible human leadership what they want done and how to do it. They dictate the choices that governments make. And this is why, as I have said in many videos, God revealed that when the government is supposed to make the obvious right choice, and everyone is saying A is the best choice, A is the choice we the citizens want, pick A, not only in this country, but in many nations, the leaders will pick not the best choice, not the choice that's almost as good as the best, and not even the fair choice in the middle. They will consistently pick from the bad choice and the terrible choice. So from the last two groups, this is where you see the leaders of this world making their choices, and this is why we should finally wake up to what God is telling us. The decisions are being made globally are not being made to impact, help, or better the lives of international citizens everywhere. They are being made backward, harmful, counterintuitive choices are being made to further an agenda that has nothing to do with the normal person. And when you give this deeper thought, you will finally begin to understand that if somebody is making choices that are not to benefit you, it's not because you're invisible. It's because they're building for a world where they fully do not expect you to be there anymore. I'll stop the prophecy there. This is Celestial with the Master's Voice. Please subscribe to the channel. Please give a thumbs up to the video. Your likes help the video to be recommended more highly. I'll be back with another video when I can, but these are very serious things that we all need to think about. I think what is most important that you may take away from this video is if you don't shift your mind, if your paradigm is not torn so that you can see the truth beneath, then you will keep living in this false reality where you think this is where things are, and yet all you will see is the tip of the iceberg that many people are seeing now. Many people are finally beginning to question what is going on, but it takes more than wondering. It takes more than wondering. You will literally have to make the shift to the truth that lies beneath. And so subscribe to the channel, give a thumbs up, and until I see you again, I'm Celestial. Thank you to everyone who supports this channel. Let me not forget that. Thank you as you share. Thank you as you send in your blessings and your gifts. I really appreciate it. The Lord bless you and multiply your fruit back to you and show you that he is your sustenance and your provision always. Until I see you again, goodbye.